Want to participate in a Don and Mike show contest?
How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
The Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
I almost busted the tape.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
That tape almost looks like James Brown's mugshot.
It's a good start to the show when you go, yeah!
I almost had to press the goddamn thing.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
All right, well, how about you? All I ask of you, Brad Garrett, is 1 second at the beginning of the show every day.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Yeah, right, tell me about it. Where are the other guys?
Okay.
All right,
shut up.
Well, my
everybody
God.
Everybody loves
Donovan. I didn't realize it went on that long,
it's
actually.
It's a true story. He was a neo-Nazi.
Went on for years.
One though. True enemy. Himself.
Still going on.
Faith,
in some parts of the world.
And his soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
You know what that is?
What is it, Rob?
That's the dimensions of hatred.
Yes.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Tony Madroni and all the ships at sea. boy, there's Syphilicious.
Yeah.
Dr. Otto and Michael Merrill.
Yeah. Thank you, Rob. All right. And thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show, a new episode on this Thursday. Honorary 29ers.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Yes, 012904. You can call. I don't know that we'll take your call, but you can call. Right now you can call any time, actually, like the announcer said.
Really?
If your call is exotic, entertaining, or if it has anything to do with what we're talking about.
Yeah, sometimes the calls are a challenge.
877-365-3636. That's the number from anywhere in America. From Canada, 800-636-1067. And Washington, D.C. on WJFK 202-432-1067. So just wait. We will have a phone scan.
Very good.
As we do every day. We'll take it with that. And then, you know, it's it's not Adult Swim anymore.
That, no. Right.
Hey, bring your kids in. Let them go in the pool, whatever you want. I am so glad to be leaving town. We're doing a half a show today. And hey, what does that say about us? That says we're the kind of guys, and I'm proud to say this, they give you 50%.
We're giving you 50% of the show today, and we could not be happier.
And it's a choice.
Yes.
It is a choice because we did not have a choice of doing a whole show or
right.
not. So actually, we're good guys.
Mm-hmm. We are. We're doing the right thing today.
Because we're here doing half a show.
We could have given nothing.
Yes, we could have.
We could have given 0%.
Mm-hmm. But still, you must say, to be honest, we are here giving you half a show today.
We're giving you half our best.
There you go. It's only 50%. But I find that relieves the inner pressure so much, only knowing that we only have to do half a show today.
And you were assuring me before the show that you're going to do the best half first.
Yeah, we're going to do the best half first.
No, I didn't. I think it was the other way around.
Oh, was it?
I said the best part of the show will be the ride to the airport.
I misunderstood.
Always the case.
And getting on the airplane. So we're here for half a show today, truncated today, so we can join you live from Houston.
And we're all going today.
Tomorrow for the Super Bowl. And now, what was that about?
I just said we're all going. It's rare that the last time we all were together was Iceland. That's true. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's right.
The last time we were all together traveling. We've done it so long.
Been
and
a while.
I truly do, you know, sometimes I dread it. Most of the time I enjoy it. And this is one of those ones where, you know, we're all going to a place that I don't think many of us have been before. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And generally speaking, I think Houston is no, we're not heard there, right?
No,
not a
right.
chance. It's a top 10 market.
No.
Come on.
That's right.
I heard it's a real asshole, but that they've
what I've heard too.
They've tried to fix it up.
They're working on it.
That it's supposed to be real pretty. Mm-hmm. Well, either way, we'll let you know tomorrow. Oh, Rob, would you put the other?
You want the other? Yeah,
just to give you a little taste of what tomorrow's going to be all about. When we get down to Houston,
the stars at night are big and bright
for the Super Bowl.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Okay. That's a good record.
Yeah. play that one to the ground tomorrow.
Sure.
So we're leaving today, going to the Super Bowl. That's going to be fantastic.
Bowl!
And I am so happy to be out of my house. Let me explain to you this. My wife, she's trying to do the right thing, but she's done the wrong thing because that's how she's wired. We have a house. We live in a house, a nice house, a fine house, a great house. She's always doing something to it. It's never quite done enough.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're to the point where she's decided that all of the wood floors have to be stripped.
And refinished.
Sanded and refinished. Now, this means the kitchen, the living room, the part of the living room that we're never allowed to go into, the staircase, and... most importantly, my cave.
Oh, dear. And I take it you don't necessarily concur with her that it's in need of a renovation.
No, I don't, but I've gone along with this because she said to me, this is going to happen while you're out of town. When you're at the Super Bowl, these guys are going to come in, and you're going to come back, and you're not even going to know it.
Not like they're tearing anything up. They're just taking their machines and buffing them.
Well, let me just explain to you. What they actually are taking like the trim off the bottom of the
molding.
They're replacing that. They got the gigantic sanding machines. Two things. She left, of course, this morning to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
My wife left to go to work, which normally is a good thing. But as she was walking out the door, she said, "Oh, now listen, don't forget."
The men are coming.
The guys are coming over to strip the floor and everything. So you got to handle that with them. And the piano movers are coming over.
Mm-hmm.
So why are the piano movers coming over? She goes, "Oh, come on, don't be dumb. The piano's in the room." So now I'm waiting for piano movers, and I'm praying while they're moving this piano, which now incidentally is right next to my front door. As you walk into my house, mm-hmm. the piano
is right there.
All the furniture from these other rooms has been jammed into the entranceway of our house.
So do they have to physically remove the piano from your house?
They just had to move it out of the room that has all wood floors.
Oh.
So now it's in the part that has
it sideways or something like that.
Yeah, well, that actually that's what they did. They took I watched the guys. It's a cool gig.
Mm-hmm.
They took the piano and they. Oh, we have a tape. I'm sorry. We have a tape of them fixing the piano.
Oh, good.
Why, you dummy. Don't you dare hit me in the head. You know I'm not normal.
Okay, why don't you do things right?
Why don't you do things right?
Right. That would be good if they had accents. But, I'll leave it up to you what the accents are because those guys are in my house right now.
British. That must be it.
Wrong? No, you nailed it. You nailed it right on the first try.
Now turn the piano upside down.
Way to go, Mike. So what they did was they actually screwed off two of the legs on the left-hand side, and then they got it on like a dolly playing with wheels, and it's all leverage, but I'm fascinated watching these guys do it.
Process.
And it takes them approximately, seriously, 90 seconds to pop the legs off this piano.
Two guys doing this?
Two guys. Wheel it to the middle of the next room.
Mm-hmm.
Put the legs back on, and it's sitting down. And then the guy says, "So when do you want to move back?" I said, I don't know. Whenever
you panic because your wife would know the
answer. Whenever they're done with the floors,
right?
I said, "Well, how about Monday?" I don't know if Monday's good for me. I said, "Well, I guess whenever you can move it back, just come on back." How about tomorrow? I said, "No, the floors won't be done tomorrow." So now I'm still got a piano.
Mm-hmm. So did your wife tell you when they needed to move it back?
No, I'm not allowed to call. Now, here's another great injustice in the world. I'm really not allowed to call my wife at work.
Oh, really?
Unless it's an emergency.
Oh,
if only we had the same rule with my job.
Yes, she can call you anytime.
If only we had the same rule. I'm only allowed to call her, like, you know, if we get fired or something.
Wow.
Other than that, I'm not allowed to call.
Wow.
Because I think because she hides the fact of who she's married to.
The shame. She doesn't want anybody to know.
Yeah, really. That's the truth. I mean, and she's kept it a pretty good secret all
the time. So she doesn't especially want you to call her on the air.
Oh, yeah, right. I can't call her on the air when she's at work. I can't, but I mean...
She doesn't even want you to call off the air.
Yeah, right. No, this is a real life thing. Oh, and Mike, thanks. You give me the first chance to play this for myself.
Michael Source
is disciplined.
Right. I'm not allowed to call her. So I'm making these decisions, and I'm going to get to the point of this thing. The moment when I lost it.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I'm doing is I'm over by my TV and I'm getting all the wires out and having to do that thing where you remember what wire goes where and what plug goes where. Because they got to take the whole, everything's got to go out of the room.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at my cave, which is empty, and there are wires, and I'm hoping that I've labeled them correctly.
Decimated.
And the guy comes in and he says to me, while they're sanding and refinishing the wood floors and the stairs, the guy comes in and says to me, "Where's your current?" And I said, "Come again?" And the guy said, "Where's your current?" And I said,
"Your current."
And I said, "I have no effing idea."
Is he asking for
what you're talking about?
Is he asking for an outlet?
Hold on, no, he was not. I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. And then this is the picture when I left my house today. I took him out and I said, "Here's the breaker box. Mm-hmm. You see this, the breaker box?" He said, "No, no, no, not good, not good. Laundry room, laundry room." So I said, "All right, come on, let's go up to the laundry room."
Is this the floor guy that asked you where the current was?
Yeah. So what he's done is he's taken the plug, the wires that go from the washer into the wall.
Mm-hmm. Which is a higher voltage, 220.
Yeah, 220 volt, that's what he told me. And what he's done is he's spliced in these wires to the machine that he's using to ruin my floors.
Wow.
So as this is happening, he says to me, "Be very careful going upstairs in the laundry room. Very high voltage." Very high voltage. And it looks...
So it's not plugged in. It's just sort of wired in?
Yes. And it looks to me...
Oh, boy.
It looks to me like a job... It looks to me like they're doing the job the way I would do it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But I don't know enough about it, and
why couldn't he unplug your washer or dryer and
Mike, these are the questions.
Plug in his.
These are the questions that I don't know.
Oh man,
I'm going to the Super Bowl. That's all I know is I'm going to the Super Bowl. I've got Super Bowl fever, and I have been assured that when I get back home, you know, knock on wood. And it's not burning to the ground right now.
Good.
When I get back home, all I will have to do is simply re-plug in my items and re-put my things.
Right.
Other than that, I would never even know that these guys had been there. Now, keep in mind right now, and I know that they've promised to do a great job of cleaning up right now with just the stuff they've done already.
Right.
There is a coating of dust.
Yeah.
Like you're inside Joan Rivers' underpants.
Do they work with those little surgical masks?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And those machines are driving the dogs freaking crazy.
Wow.
I got one dog just right in front of me. Dog just took a crap.
Really?
Just inside,
terrified with the machine. Yeah.
Inside the house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know the dog's not protesting.
Did it land in the dust?
No,
might be easier to pick up that way.
He was standing, you know, 50 yards away, Mike. He was 50 yards
standing away. Half a football field away.
So I'm sure that whatever they're doing, it's safe. I just know it looked weird.
Looked disturbing.
It looked weird, and I care about my family.
Well, is it going to be completely done by the time you get back?
Well, that's the deal that Freedom made with me. That
this is my deal here, Wade.
That by the time I get back from Houston, and I'm not staying for the game, I'm coming
Houston.
Back, coming back for the Super Bowl party. So by the time I get back in time for the game on Sunday, supposedly everything will be right.
Houston means something.
Good luck with that.
Houston. Rob, you went to the well, didn't you?
Well, there's not a lot of songs. Not a lot of songs mentioned.
You have the Gatlin Brothers song?
No, it's a shame.
But I told Rob the one that I wanted, which has nothing to do with Houston, but I think of it, is that Glenn Campbell song? I am a lineman for the county.
Well, that's Wichita.
So, right. That's a Wichita lineman. And then there's Galveston.
Mm-hmm. Isn't Galveston close to Houston?
No, it's down on the coast.
Isn't Houston closer to the Gulf than Dallas?
Houston is between Dallas and Galveston.
Galveston? Hold on. Cue up. What do we got here?
This would be appropriate also.
Hi there. Welcome to Houston, Texas.
Southern night.
Yeah.
Have you ever...
Well, we should wait. We can do this tomorrow.
Sure.
Do it tomorrow when we got an audience of people looking at us wondering what we're doing. So that's my update. I'm glad to be out of the house.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen. The last thing I did was to lock the dogs in the basement.
It's so they don't... If they crap down there.
Yeah, and yeah. I guess it's up to my darling wife to figure it out.
Sort that out.
So anyway, I'm a big boy now. I'm you know, look at me.
You're out of the house.
Look at me. I did it all, and I'm leaving town.
Congratulations.
There you go. Now, there are people calling who say that they can explain my wires. Would this be something that would be relevant to what we're speaking about?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
You think so?
Yeah,
hello, Don and Mike. Jim. Hello, Jim.
Yeah, listen, I'm a construction dude. I built stairs, and we tap into the 220 all the time because here's how it works. All the appliances and everything's on 110 except for the major stuff, like your dryer is hooked up to a 220.
Just tell me, would you go into a guy's house and do that thing where you, like, you splice the wires together?
No, you don't just stick the wires in. You use a plug.
Yeah.
The way 220 works is... Or 250 or whatever, 240 or whatever.
No, too much. Yabby.
This is like when I go to the car place when they start talking about, you know, just break it down to real moron
specifics for you. You said that, what did they do? Cut the line?
Yes. This guy wouldn't know. For instance, Rob, grab me right here, Mike. I'll show you. This cable right here.
Yeah, yeah. They cut that?
Yes. They cut into that.
Was that coming out of your washer?
Yes.
So they owe you a new plug.
I'm sure that they'll put it back.
No.
I'm sure that they'll replace it.
If they cut the plug that goes into the wall,
yes.
Why didn't they just plug into the two? You didn't ask.
I didn't ask.
You?
No.
Oh my God.
No.
Well, maybe there's no plug on the major.
You mean like it's hardwired?
Yeah, well, obviously they split into the insulation. They built it like Dr. Frankenstein.
I don't think that's code.
I don't think it's legal. I don't think it's safe.
I don't think it's code.
Maybe
I don't think
I'm not describing it correctly.
And they definitely owe you a new dryer cord.
Maybe I'm not describing it correctly.
Whatever you do when you get home, do not lick it.
Aren't you aware,
in your laundry room, everybody's like, yeah, that big super duper plug.
It has three pins.
I was on the phone with you today when I was describing it to you. So what... I was looking right at it when I was talking to Rob.
Are you sure they didn't plug it in? Maybe there were some wires there?
You've given a clearer explanation now, and it seems to me that they've cut into the insulation.
Yeah.
And it would only have two big wires within the cord.
They're not answering my phone, as they shouldn't.
This is a test.
This is a test. They probably can't hear. They can't hear the phone anyway because of those.
Well, because they've damaged all the wiring here.
Those goddamn machines.
Maybe they cut their phone into your phone line.
I wish we didn't have that guy explaining. I'm curious to know what.
Maybe I'm describing it wrong, but I'm telling you, I saw.
How close were you? Were you within 50 yards when you saw it?
Yes, I was standing at the. As a matter of fact.
Did you get my joke that I just?
Yeah, I got it. But let me tell you something. This is funny. I was only allowed to get as close as the doorway to the laundry room because they had taken a big mop and put it up vertically like the Ghostbusters thing, saying, you know, don't enter.
Oh, okay, because of voltage?
Because of high voltage. And that's where
Jesus Christ, what are they doing?
Again. And that's where I mean, I'm not kidding you. That's where I saw these spliced up wires.
A mop, the standard safety device.
By any chance, did you see, like, arcs of electricity shooting around the room like in a Frankenstein?
And did you see down near the outlet? Did you see that?
No, the outlet is behind.
So could the spliced wires be coming out of their equipment or their line?
I don't think so. Mike, maybe I'll give them that. But Jesus Christ, if that's the case,
because I've seen construction equipment of that nature where you have the many wires coming out. And
why would you have the splicey splice things though?
It might be on their equipment.
Did your house when you left smell like bumper car?
It sure did look weird.
Did you get any sense of melting plastic at all?
No, none.
Like a train set.
They just wanted to know where the nearest fast food place was.
And where's your current?
I got no idea. Where's my current? I'm looking like down towards my pants. That's where my current is.
It sounds to me like the cords to their equipment. Might be a little dicey.
Don't have plugs. Yeah, well, they're stealing yours.
I don't know. All I know is that...
Or they might have done some splicing on their plugs themselves.
They're down on the main level. So the laundry room, you have to go upstairs. You have to go up two flights of stairs to get to the laundry room. So
they had extension cords, basically.
Yeah, so there's one big gigantic monster extension cord. And here's what they've done. They've snaked it through the house, so it goes from behind the dryer,
right,
and then past the barricade with the broom, goes into the computer room, through what used to be
I got a theory.
My son's bathroom, and out my son's door, then out and over the wall into the entrance of the house.
I got a theory for you. This is my theory for you. What you saw was probably a splicing job that was done on their extension cord because they probably can't afford to replace that because that's a pretty expensive cord there. That's quite a snake that they have.
Oh, I'm sure.
Do they have big snakes?
I'm sure it's fine. All I know is that they're there undoing
you. And I know you hate the Inquisition when
well, I don't have the answers. I don't have the answers. Yeah.
But see, you tell such a wonderful tale that I become extensively, like Larry King, very curious.
I'll let you know. I won't be able to find out until we're done with the show today.
It's probably what you were looking at was their extension cord down at the base where it's maybe rubbed on something and sheared off and they had to splice it together.
Yeah, but I don't know. It didn't look right.
Mm, yeah. It doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right to me. And the reason you were probably prevented from going down there is that's probably where the break in the line is. And if you stepped on that, you might get yourself a little hot foot.
Well, they got it. The line was running all the way through the house.
Yeah, but were there any other spliced areas on the line?
No, that was it.
All right.
That was it, just right up there by the dryer that had the mop in front of the door, you know, saying don't go in. But I'm going to the Super Bowl.
Have you ever caught a real shock like that?
No.
I got 110 once.
Really?
It feels like
I'd be a shock jock.
I've done that all the time.
It really feels like warm water is flowing through your body. It's the weirdest feeling. I can't imagine what 220 is.
That's scary. Vibrate.
Yeah. 220 can kill you, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, that's why you put the mop up.
Yeah, for safety.
Sure. Watch out. Don't
scared kids.
Don't go in there.
It'll be fine.
All right, now everybody on the phone here says can't explain wiring, can explain your wiring.
Yeah.
Wiring
they'd be boring like that other guy.
Wiring may be different. Listen, I trust my wife. I trust, and these guys have been out to our house. They did this project, I remember it, 6 years ago.
Right.
So they're back to do it again.
Very good. And if not, she wanted a new house. So.
Yeah, well, that might be part of the master plan, Buzz.
Well, look at that. That's going up like a tinderbox. You're going to have to replace that whole house.
Yep. But I did have the chat with my boys before I left them down there.
Good, the dog.
With Clink and Max and Rudy. I got them all down in the basement. I said, good boys.
Shit out, doggy.
Your daddy's good boys. Daddy loves you. Now, daddy's got to go to work. Mommy will be back from work. Daddy won't be back. I really had this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I said, daddy won't be back till Sunday. But I want you to know something. I don't even know if you can understand me right now. Until mommy gets home, you can go number two, and I used another word. You can S anywhere you want. You can S on the carpet. You can S on the couch.
Right.
You can S over there on the chair. Knock yourself out, because mommy's got to clean it up when she comes. You know, because...
And will they, do you think?
No, because it never works out like that.
Because she's that way.
They're good
dogs. Yeah, they're good dogs. Yeah. And she'll come home, and they'll be happy, and they'll go out, and they'll do what they never do for me, which is when she gets home, she'll open the door, and they go out there, and they like posing, lifting the legs, pee, number two, and then they come right back in.
Not a good dog.
For me, they ran up the street. So that's all I got for you, Mike. Wow.
Well, I got no TV at my house, if it's any consolation to
me. Why?
Because
with the burst pipes
that burst right on top of the electronics. Oh. So I thought I'd get an electrical shock, and looks to me like they replaced the pipes. But I went in and I plugged in the little TV system down the next to the breaker box, and it went click, and it shot the circuit breaker. Mm. And so I didn't play with it too much longer than that. I have a heater on it.
You probably need a mop or something to keep people away from that area.
I walked through it last night in my bare feet.
Click, 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 click.
Kind of a death wish thing. You know, just saying, what the hell? God, take me now.
Hello. Wow.
No TV, take me now. Got my phones back, though.
Don and Mike, I'm with you on that one, Mike. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey. You know, is this guy on the air or not?
Hello, can you hear us?
Hello?
Can you hear us?
You're on
air.
Yeah, good. Yeah, come on. Please.
Well, sorry about that.
Jesus.
Hey, just as long as you guys don't touch that 220, 110 will kill you before 220 will.
Okay, thank you. Right. Thank you very much.
Dumbass.
I'll meet you all at Rockingham for the first big NASCAR race of the year.
Come on now, shoe fly.
Yeah.
Shoe fly.
I kid because of the accents. I kid because I love. I kid because really...
And 110 kid quicker than 220.
Because really, you really don't have any idea what's going on at my house. Because trust me, I'm not the best witness to anything.
You sound like you know your parameters.
Yeah.
And that's the important thing.
Sure.
Steer clear.
Here's my job. My job is to come in here, do the show, you know, make everybody's ride home happier, as we all do.
Right.
And then go home, and that's all I do is watch TV.
Eat.
Yeah.
S. F.
Boom. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. That's it. Here's an easy explanation for the wiring.
Oh, good. Easy.
Let's see if this guy talks like he's in NASCAR. Rich.
Yes. Hey, how you guys doing today?
Yes, he does still fit that stereotype. Easy explanation for the wiring?
Yep. There's a lot of different style plugs to plug into 220. You know, like that's why your dryer doesn't come with a plug. And so he's got all the different style plugs.
See right there? Mm-hmm. Hold on a second there, Dale Jarrett. I didn't know that my dryer didn't come with a plug. How does it turn itself on then? If you don't plug it in?
You have to buy a plug extra once you determine what style.
What a ripoff! You mean you go to
my dryer comes with a plug?
You mean you go to the dryer? You go to the dryer store, you buy a dryer, and the plug is optional? No.
No, it's not optional, but you have to tell them what style.
Yeah, there are different configurations of 220 plugs, so
that's what your guys doing your floors did. They've just taken all those styles and spliced them together, and then when they get to your house, they plug the one they need into your.
All right. Now I understand what they're doing. They have different plugs on the end of their line, and they unplug the dryer and then plug theirs in.
Bobby Labonte?
That's it.
I must tell you something. God must have needed a phone caller today because you have just explained it to me.
I totally understand it now.
Will
you confirm whether he's right with your wife?
Yeah, but it won't be after the show because she doesn't get done working until 6 o'clock.
I'd like to know tomorrow.
You might know tonight.
I'm curious. I don't want to know tonight. I want to know on the show tomorrow.
Okay, all right. I'll let you know. But you, my friend, hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
I got something for you because you're good.
Thank you.
And what number are you? I always get your guys' numbers mixed up. Which are you? Are you 81? Are you 24?
I don't know a thing about NASCAR, guys.
Okay.
Liar.
Okay, liar. You won the Mick Foley DVD. Mick Foley Mankind DVD. Mick Foley's coming on the show today. Mick Foley's Greatest Hits and Misses, A Life in Wrestling.
Hmm.
Mankind's brand new DVD. Okay?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thanks for listening.
All right.
I thought he was very clear.
Good job. He did an outstanding. Here I am calling him Boomhauer, and he actually crystallized it for me.
They probably have a bunch of different plugs in a little duffel bag, and that's how they do it.
I feel better.
Thank you, friend.
When they set your house afire.
Right. We'll be right back.
Thanks, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'm not back in 10 minutes. They call the cops. Standard operating procedure.
Here's some standard operating procedure. Stay the f*** away from Tony Soprano. Shut the f*** up and listen. It's over. Capisce? Over and done. You call or go anywhere near him or his family, and they'll be scraping your nipples off these fine leather seats.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike. This is Furio Giunta from The Sopranos. I never listen to you. Goodbye.
They are old and pathetic. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Now, here's the deal. Because we care, God, we care desperately, don't we?
Oh, we care so much it hurts us. It physically hurts us.
We're like Jerry Lewis. We care. We're here. We're doing the half show because that's the only time that we can get a flight to get out of here to make sure that we can get to Houston to do the show tomorrow.
Yeah, the nation's capital, just tremendously convenient to fly anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think, being the nation's capital.
The problem is our time slot.
Yeah. Our time slot's pretty difficult to get anywhere.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, most flights leave at 7 or 7.30, and after that you're SOL.
Right.
And then you go into the next day. Mm-hmm. Well, what if we waited until tomorrow morning and we flew there? Well, first, we wouldn't be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and raring to make you laugh like we are today.
That's right.
And also, what happens if we get another ice storm?
Then we're
stuck. So that's why we're here for half a day. And because of that, everything is compressed. And you should call, right now.
No.
Because we're just going to do a mini phone scan, like half the time of a regular phone scan.
Mini.
So get on the line to get on the air at 877-365-3636. Call right now, you animals. I promise we'll take these calls in just a second. Michael.
Yes.
Michael.
Yes.
We have a winner in the incest contest.
Oh, God.
The name was given Mike Jones. It is a fake name.
Okay.
And we received the following email. Yeah, this was the guy with the story about the sister.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. I am thrilled to win the incest contest. This is his email response.
Yeah, good for you.
I was listening. Well, hold on, Mike.
All right.
I was listening when Don said I was the winner. I hoped. I never thought it would be me. I want to thank all the little people who made this possible. But you better tell Mike that his crap detector wasn't working. I'm afraid I am one of the people who wrote you for the fun of it. Now, did you say you believed him or didn't?
I think I didn't identify him as being a phony.
He said, me, never had a sister. I live in Sacramento. Sorry, Rob. and I write erotic fiction for the fun of it.
Sure does.
Oh, God, for the fun of it.
I whipped this out to you, and again, I'm worried you were whipped out.
Right.
I whipped this out to you in about 30 minutes when the contest was announced.
Uh-huh.
I can write like a West Virginia boy, but I can't sell it vocally. I suspect I would never be able to convince anyone I was some hillbilly poking his sister. I will post this, along with your winning notification, on my own website.
Of course. What? Which one was he? Obviously, it was all fiction.
He was the guy who lived in Las Vegas, and the mom and dad went out for the weekend and left them alone.
And his sister was a hooker?
No, it was a different one. This was the one that had Red Dago wine.
Okay,
I remember the wine specifically in that they continued the relationship.
Yes, reunited. That was number one.
Oh, okay, all right. Reunited. Yeah. Hey, Buzz with the notes.
Yeah.
Well, Buzz
got visibly excited about it. He's about as disturbing as anything I've ever seen.
So this guy does get $100, and thank you, and not a chance we're giving out your own website. God damn, who doesn't have their own website now?
Right.
I'll tell you who doesn't. We don't.
Yeah.
and here is Charlie Broyhill with more stuff.
Hi, thanks.
Thanks, Charlie. You don't get your name sung unless you step up to the microphone and say something, son.
Well, he's got a big sucker in his mouth.
I don't like
Charlie Broyhill.
You just talked through your jingles, you said. What did you say?
I don't like to bring
Charlie Broyhill.
Couldn't hear it again. Your jingle was on while you were talking.
No, I'm sorry. Up. What?
What? Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry that I...
What?
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 I said it.
No, seriously, what were you going to say?
Nothing.
Charlie Broyhill.
There he goes.
You win again.
Here's the email. Okay, congratulations.
You always win.
Congratulations.
And you're undefeated.
We're traveling, can you tell?
That was a great sketch.
He really just came in to give me this email.
Right.
Received a... hi, Charlie. I tried to call. The office was closed, and the phone tree said no one there with your name. I was going to tell you, I don't need the stinking money. I didn't know Don and Mike were offering cash. If you must, donate the money to Home for Penniless Pimps and Prostitutes, which also goes by the name of the Democratic Party. And that's the response.
Let me see if I get this straight, because this is very important.
Yeah.
Is this a participant in our contest?
This is the same guy.
The winner. Oh, the same guy.
The winner. This is Charlie just brought a new email in from the very same guy. He tried to call yesterday, but the office was closed. And apparently he wasn't able to get Charlie on voicemail.
Right.
Huh. He doesn't want the money. He didn't know that we were offering cash. He listens at work and his listening is spotty. So if you must, donate the money to the Home for Penniless Pimps and Prostitutes. Also goes by the name of the Democratic Party.
Hey, thanks for slamming the Democrats, Mr. Perv.
Well, whatever, Mike. Whatever.
Yeah, well, no, that's nice. That makes me actually feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
Here's something that I... Because, you know, now it's coming down to that time where it's Republican versus Democrat with you and I, and we've not had this before, but it's here.
Yeah, but you don't really give an ass, so it's not fun, really. Well, it's not genuine.
You know, I tell you what, tonight on the airplane, if you and I knock a couple back, I promise to tell you why I really... I don't think it matters.
No, I know why you're.
Who's
I think
the
you
president?
Explained it yesterday, and I think a lot of people, you know, explain why they're Republicans for your reason. You're voting with your wallet,
right?
The Republicans tax you less than the Democrats.
Correct.
So that's fine. I can accept that.
And that's it for me. Well, then we don't have to have that talk on the plane.
We consider it done.
No, we can talk about. We can talk about. Now this is so great. You know, just when you think,
so great.
When you think the Michael Jackson stuff can't get any better. This is so great. Michael Jackson's Jesus juice. Jesus juice. Michael Jackson likes his wine. And now Vanity Fair is coming out with an article about this kid. The kid who says that he touched him.
Right, the kid with cancer.
Michael Jackson gave wine to the 13-year-old cancer patient at the center of the molestation charges. It's going to be in Vanity Fair. It occurred last February on an airplane. Administering an intoxicating agent with intent to commit a felony. Now listen, Michael Jackson refers to white wine as Jesus juice and red wine as Jesus blood and usually drinks them out of soda cans so no one will know that he's drinking booze.
Oh, God.
Michael's inner circle know his code names for the beverages, adding it tells you if the boy spent quality time with Michael. Like, if they know, you know, the code names, that means the kid was in there drinking with Michael. During his accuser's visits to the Neverland Ranch, Michael Jackson told him that girls are tattletales.
Oh, no.
So don't tell your mom or your sister. And did you know, not only all of this stuff, you know, my man, Michael Jackson, my man, Thriller, did you know that he is, maybe right now, but at least at some point was addicted to Demerol and morphine?
Really?
I didn't know that.
This is new. You know, I thought he was a lot of things. I didn't think he was a drug addict.
The Bizarro Boy Wonder. Who wrote this? The Bizarro Boy Wonder has been in and out of rehab because of his addiction to Demerol and morphine. All of this is going
to
be...
Man, they kept it a secret.
Mm-hmm. In the new Vanity Fair. One of the doctor's advisors says, quote, either the drugs are going to kill him or he's going to die by flying out of a window because he thinks he can fly.
Who's that guy that writes for... Is that Dominic Dunn? Is that the guy's
name? That's one of them, yeah.
And he's the guy that really does the painstaking research.
Right.
So.
Writes
Vanity Fair usually doesn't print. I mean, it's pretty well-researched. Right?
Also,
that's been my experience.
Pretty also, reliable. When, and you, we should just remember... Let's remember Jesus juice now.
Mm-hmm. Jesus juice.
Have some Jesus juice.
You going to have some Jesus juice on the plane?
Have some Jesus blood. I'll probably have some Jesus blood on the plane.
There you go.
The kid has also, like all the kids do that he touches... The kid has told the cops what his penis looks like and why it's so unique.
He's drawn a picture, I guess, to see if it matches the description.
Apparently, there's something...
Will that be in Vanity Fair?
Not the picture, but the
police sketch artist.
But the revelation...
We're going to recreate the penis.
The boy also claims that his underpants are missing. That's consistent with the report that Michael Jackson frequently keeps the underpants of his overnight guests.
Well, they might have... I wonder if they got anything in the search.
I don't know.
Hmm. You think he had a stash? I bet he had a stash.
stash
of underpants. Like a big satchel of tighty whities.
Stash of underoos.
Underwear half off.
I don't know. Right. Jesus. He made a great juice, Mike.
Wow.
That's the latest on MJ. 877-365-3636. Here we go. Your calls. Hello, Donna Mike Show. This is a mini phone scam. We really got to fly. Hi.
Well, I figured being it was a short show, I'd help you out and take whatever prizes you were given just to get them out of the way.
Right. Oh, hold on a second. You asked for it. You got it. Stand by, please, to win a pair of tickets to Singles in the City, the premier singles event in D.C. next Friday or Friday after that, Friday 13th.
Wow.
13th.
So I got to drive to D.C. for this?
Yes, at the prestigious Marriott Boardman Park Hotel.
Worth it.
No, listen, you'll want to because it's a giant singles party being put on by Infinity Broadcasting.
Hey,
wow.
How about Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Now, you got to... Are you married?
Yes.
Oh, you are married.
Oh, no, you don't even live in the D.C. area.
No, I'm up in Rochester.
Oh, in Rochester? Well,
you'd be married and then you have to drive down to D.C. for a singles party Rochester.
Let me go to the Rochester pile. Oh, hey, it's your lucky day. DVD copy of Body by Jake's Strength Training for Women.
Cool.
Because you asked for it. Thank you for listening.
Fantastic. Welcome to late January.
Don't forget, you passed on that singles meet and greet, which is being... You got to know what's good if it's being put together by a group of radio stations.
Very, very exciting.
Hi, Donna Mike Show. Phone scan. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you are on the air.
Hello. I'm so excited.
Hi.
Hi, guys. I love you both desperately.
Thank you.
I have listened to you since it was WAVA. I went to O'Connell High School.
Thank you, darling.
You know, I love that word. I love it. I love it when somebody loves us desperately.
Desperately.
We didn't ask for a bio. So let's get right to it. What can we do for you?
I just called to say I love you. That's all.
Hey, it's a good song.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
That is a great moment.
And I mean it from the bottom of my heart.
It's a great moment in High Fidelity.
Yes.
When the guy comes in to buy that song and Jack Black goes absolutely nuts on him.
Jack Black getting a few nominations for his work in...
School of Rock.
School of Rock.
Donna Mike. Hello.
Hey, you guys are going to get back to the Jerry tapes after you guys get back from Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, we are. Yep.
Did we ever start that?
We played a few Jerry tapes.
Where's my underwear?
I think we got like through maybe a third of them. But no. We can play them tomorrow.
No.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Listen to this, Bonnie.
Hello, Don and Mike.
I was bleeding to death.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Konnichiwa. How's it going?
Konnichiwa.
Hey, I got a question for Buzz.
All right, go ahead.
Since you are the only man, I believe, that's been back there with your wife,
Yes.
Okay.
Always a great way to start a conversation.
As far as I know, sir, yes, I am the only.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it okay to let the dam into the cave?
And listen, Mr.
What?
Mom.
What did he say? What?
Mr. Mom, who is that you're dangling out a window right now?
Oh, yeah. That's my nephew.
That's your nephew.
Oh, great that uncle's around making these kind of questions.
Right.
Well, I'm glad you. I bet your brother or sister is happy to be having you supervise the kids.
So your question for Buzz had to do with anal?
Yes.
Okay, but we didn't understand the question.
Try to say it.
I'm trying to not to get you in trouble.
All right. We appreciate that.
Are
you talking about geishing in the
yes.
In the particular place we're talking about?
Right.
I've seen that in movies.
I have not, and that's just kind of, you know, I always thought.
So hold on, you're
enema, you know.
So I don't know.
Gross.
You're telling me.
Well, no, you know what? It's funny. You're telling me you think it's gross, right?
Right.
Well, but you're calling about it.
Uh-huh. Right.
You're curious about it. The guy you're thinking about it.
Fascinated.
Let me make sure that I understand.
It's infatuating.
Like with the guy that had to explain the wires to me.
This guy's such an idiot.
This guy. Well, they all are. My guy is, but we love them, though.
Yeah. It's infatuating.
The guy's calling because he wants to have anal with his wife, and he wants to know about completing.
Apparently.
Right.
No, so wait a minute.
So what's
you
the
said it. You said
I
it's
recommend
gross.
It.
You're contradicting yourself.
What's the question?
Well,
and first off, what are you doing there, for God's sakes? That's where food comes out.
Hey, it's okay. You were touched there. It's all right. You know, you got to let your inner feelings go.
No, where is your... What is your...
Oh, here's my inner feelings.
Uh-oh.
Oh, dear. Listen up.
Kind of kills the mood, doesn't it?
What is the deal with you? Do you want to do it?
I got news for you. Your wife does that, my friend.
Oh, yeah, I know she does.
Do you want to do it or do you not want to do it?
I'm borderline, you know, it's kind of like it's never
liar.
Done that before.
That's right. Full of it.
All right, hello. Don and Mike Show. Keep both hands on the wheel. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Phone scan. Hello. Hey.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi. I was wondering if you guys have any prizes in your phone scan that would help me with my race car, if you guys want to sponsor my race car.
No. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Sometimes it's just not time to be funny.
No.
Sometimes you say just no. Hello.
That was funny.
Hello. Hi, Mike. Radio God.
Hi there. You're on the air.
I just wanted to wish you guys a safe trip to Houston, and I just had a little suggestion, maybe, that you guys talk about Ocean City all the time. I listen to you on 95.9 in
right.
Beach, Delaware, and you guys should do some kind of special. I remember one time you had...
Hey, you know what I remember? I remember there's one time some guy called the show during a phone scan, especially
right.
on a day when we had to travel.
Yeah.
And I just hung up on his ass, and he didn't even know. He was sitting there going, hello, hello.
Yeah, there's this one time in band camp.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Phone scan.
Hey, Radio God.
Hey.
You hear about the controversy they got out here in Vegas with the Super Bowl? They told one of the casinos they can't show it on big screen.
Really? Now, you're the last call. You win the prize. But this is an interesting call. Why... Would you know about this, Buzz?
I know that the NFL regularly cracks down on public showings of their games, especially the Super Bowl. They did it with the charity girl. Remember, we had a story about it. They certainly do it with a casino.
But that's retarded.
Why?
Of course it is.
Well, apparently it was going to be on a movie theater screen that they have in the casino.
The NFL feels that in this case, the casino is making money, is drawing a crowd to an NFL attraction that the NFL should be getting money for.
Oh, my God.
But you can
God.
Get it on
that's
your
F
TV.
Them. That's why you can't say Super Bowl in some commercials.
So it's like it's not a big screen TV, it's a theater, right?
It's in the casino, though, they're doing it.
Either way, big screen TV, theater, either way, the NFL is going to come down on it.
Honest to God.
I know that's not the case at the ESPN zone.
Stop hyping your
career. Or Brady.
And you...
I had to get one in. I'm sorry. I'm just so excited about the half-price burgers.
We have sunk to a new low.
Did you say half-price?
Used to it.
Oh my God! I'm sorry.
We
I had to.
Really, really sunk to a new low. God damn it! You've won Mick Foley's DVD, His Greatest Hits and Misses of Life and Wrestling. Thank you for listening in Vegas.
Thank you.
Appreciate it on the truncated phone scan. We'll be back to ask Mike about what's really in those burgers. And that Mick Foley coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don't do the same old thing for Valentine's Day. The flowers won't last. The candy, nice dinner, make you fat. Stuffed animal ends up in a garage sale.
Don.
Michael.
I've got a better idea. Go to Singular and give the gift you'll both use. A cool new phone from Singular to keep you and your CGRW connected.
Tied to the coffee. That's in the coffee. Did you write that coffee wrong?
I don't know.
You know, way to go. Your niche, what you're doing, they're niche marketing the CGRWs out there.
Very good.
Who might like the color display and zoom that the V400 phone has, and the features like the built-in speakerphone phone book and picture caller ID voice commands and dialing.
Singular Wireless, because the last thing you want to think about when you're talking to that special someone is the phone bill.
Especially if it's a CGRW.
That's right, Don.
Doesn't she usually use a payphone, though?
I would think so.
1 or 2 year contract required. See any Singular Wireless store for details. Singular Wireless, part of the SBC family.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's right.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Our campaign's been broke for months. Okay, fine.
Thank you very much.
Mom, will you go back to the hotel?
The Don and Mike Show.
Moving faster than the speed of justice, the Don and Mike Show.
All right.
This is killing me today. Yeah. Getting these commercials in.
So much time, so little time.
Imagine if they actually had to do a show like this. How do most disc jockeys do it?
I don't know.
Christ. Now, what is this, Mike?
This song makes me get up and dance every time you play it.
You like Stevie Wonder? It looks,
I really do.
Looks almost like the Sacramento dance, but you dance.
Yeah, well, all my dances look the same.
And I'm turning into that. Sacramento dance.
All right.
And now Mike is doing different dances for different people who are walking down the hallway.
And I sat down just as Tammy, one of my favorite people here, walked by the window, and I didn't do a dance for her.
Dear. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, Tammy.
Hi, Tammy.
I got a question.
Soon to have a baby, Tammy.
If you can say titty bar, can you say titty fairy?
That's a wonderful question for our censors, and I think we ought to find out.
Because I do think that Tammy has been visited by the titty fairy.
I believe so. And now we will find out.
Yeah.
Point
he's checking for us.
Point taken. You want to have Buzz listen on that incredible backwards delay.
Yeah. Several got through.
Okay, good.
Very good.
But I was... that was a compliment, Tammy.
Absolutely.
Now...
she's not even hearing us.
Well, no, she won't hear it until she goes up to her office because it's the delay.
Well, I thought she'd hear the first one, you know.
No, she was walking down. See, by the time somebody walks past our window,
right,
what we say on the radio, they don't hear it like until they get to Alan's office.
Yeah, that's how long it would take. Mm-hmm. I would think she might have caught it on the first part of it on the way back.
Because we're on that crazy, we don't trust you at all delay.
Right.
Now, this is not Mick Foley on line 3.
No?
I hope not, because if it is, he's been on hold for 25 minutes.
Oh, dear.
That can't be. Mick?
Man. Hello.
Now is the scheduled time
uh-huh.
for Wrestling's Mick Foley.
Michael Foley?
You are on hold. You don't know what to do. You hear the constant pulsing of the beeping sound.
Like a
and
ring.
There's nothing you can do.
Come on.
You're waiting for a wrestler named Mick Foley. Mankind. What was his other alias?
Cactus Jack.
Cactus Jack.
How far spread apart are these beeps? You know what this is like? If somebody hooked one of those machines up to Alan Limewand to see how fast his heart was beating.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Eight seconds. That's what I imagined.
Alan has such little heart.
8 seconds, just like a rodeo ride.
I imagine it's 8 seconds between beeps.
Or it could be brainwaves.
Whatever it is, it ain't Mick Foley. So, you know, why... I just hit myself.
Come on.
I just hit myself, which is something he
did.
Which is something he did on TV Monday night, and I so wanted to ask him about this. And I know he'll probably call in a second, so I shouldn't...
Hope so.
I shouldn't flip out. Here's the deal. Monday night, now, you know, I don't watch wrestling all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I go by it every once in a while. I stick with it because Mick and some of the other guys that we've had on the show. Monday night, pretty big night for TV. You got Everybody Loves Raymond.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you've got the show Las Vegas with Jimmy Kahn.
Great show.
Yeah. At the same time, you've got My Big Fat Obnoxious Fiance.
Yes, which is hanging in there.
And at the same time, you've got Raw.
Right.
The wrestling
too
show.
Too much at once.
So... At 9 o'clock,
why don't they spread it out a little bit?
Yeah.
Spread out.
9 o'clock on Monday night, I'm going between all four, and I see the good thing about Raw and also Shake to SmackDown is that they go. I don't want to say they go to bad cities. I don't want to say that they go to not major market cities.
Right.
I'll put it like this: They go to many of the broadcast cities yeah. that our show has heard in.
Sure.
Coincidence?
Okay. They're like the traveling circus. And 1 week, they're at Madison Square Garden. And right. next week, as it turns out, Monday night, they were in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Oh, here he is now.
Beautiful hey. Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Mac.
Yes.
Hey, dude. Thanks for joining us. Let me bring everybody back up to speed. I was just padding, waiting for you to get on the phone. Mick Foley, who's got a new DVD out now. Mm-hmm. Mick Foley's Greatest Hits and Misses, A Life in Wrestling. So I'm watching Raw Monday night, and I see right at the beginning you're in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
You know, let's look at that.
You go to the Madison Square Garden, and then sometimes you go to Hershey.
You're in Hershey, and I see they're saying who's going to be the King of the Ring tonight, and all of a sudden it's Mick, mm-hmm. and it's Mick, and he's wearing the red flannel shirt.
Oh my God, like he's back,
and he's doing the stuff that he told us he's not going to do anymore.
You're back. You're at it. You couldn't stay away, could you?
Now, here's what I have to ask.
Okay, go ahead.
And I'll be very honest, Mick. That
yes.
That you weren't on right away, so I switched back to the Fat Fiancé show. I go back, I turn Raw back on.
Yes.
You're standing in front of a guy, and I don't know enough about wrestling to know who it is, but it's a guy you hate.
Yes.
And you're standing within an inch of him.
Yes.
And you're saying to him, in essence, what I'm getting is, you don't know what it's like to really be a wrestler, you stupid goddamn punk. You don't know what it's like to climb up on top of the cage and really jump down and really fall. And then he says, and you know it's true because it's Mick Foley, and we've asked him about this, but he says, do you know what I'm capable of? Watch this! And boom! Mick starts hitting himself in the head. And I mean, he's not like doing it
right.
as a goof.
He's hitting himself hard in the head.
He's seriously punching himself in the head, and this other guy is looking at him. Now, I have to tell you, the greatest intimidation that I've seen in a long time, because the guy's eyes got wider and wider, because you looked just to be out of control. What were you doing? Why did you hit yourself in the face?
Oh, man. Well, you know what? What happened is several weeks ago, some of the people listening might know this, I agreed to a match. I haven't had a match since WrestleMania of 2000, so it's been almost 4 years, and I agreed to this match, and then I kind of had a little crisis of confidence, and I walked away, which is like, you just don't do that in wrestling. So this guy, Randy Orton, kind of seized on that opportunity, and he saw fit to spit in my face. And, you know, all the fans, I was in Tampa, Florida, December 15th. They all knew I was going to fire back at him, and I didn't. I walked away. So for 7 weeks, he'd been referring to me as, a coward, and he'd been airing these horrible political attack ads that were, like, very legitimate. Something that the Bush administration would air.
You're killing me.
And
he spit in your face.
I came back, and, I didn't talk about jumping off the cage, but I essentially said that, I said, look, four kids over the course of 12 years, I've been peed on, pooped on, thrown up on, sneezed on, spit on. So the idea of being spit on was not that degrading. But until I realized that there were actually people out there, and I refer to the big theory of the big lie, which would be, that if you tell a lie that's big enough, you tell a lie long enough, that people will come to accept this fact.
Sure.
No matter how big a pile of crap what you're saying actually is.
Right.
And I was going to reference Dick Cheney in there, but I didn't think I needed to lose half my fans on my big
hey, dude, listen, I love you, D. Does have to be all about politics
hey,
for you
go
now?
Ahead. Mick, knock yourself out.
Are you another one of these guys? Jesus. Just be a wrestler. Don't be like Dennis Miller.
I mean, wrestling goes through all walks of life, and, I've got certain views and opinions about what's going on. I didn't think the wrestling show was the time to do it.
But our show is.
I referenced, that I'd seen my ear thrown out in Munich, Germany. I'd seen my skin hanging off, the barbed wire in Japan, and been bludgeoned by fans in Nigeria, and I wasn't about to have my reputation thrown.
But why did you hit yourself in the face? Because you really did it.
It's the psychological intimidation factor. I tried that like three times over the course of, 17, 18 years in wrestling. Not a drop of blood. The theory is if you hit the eyebrow bone, you will split the eyebrow. And this is a very sacred wrestling ritual, not practiced very often because it can lead to blindness. And but that night I'm watching I watched it back last night, and it was like, man, as if on cue, just a little bit of blood.
You got some blood?
And now here's the thing.
It was trickling down, looked kind of artistic.
Good word.
And I've always said, it's like De Niro in Raging Bull, it's like when you believe in that character, you're you're playing, that comes across to the fans. And
sure.
At that moment, I believed, and Randy Orton sure as hell believed.
Oh, I know he did.
He's not a good enough actor to look that
No, and here's the thing. When I'm watching this now with you, and when you started the whole build-up to why you don't like this guy, Mike started to laugh the same way I laugh, like, okay, these are the plots of the soap operas that you play out.
Right.
However,
right. But you watched it.
When I watched this, and I watched it on TiVo, so I was able to go back when they went to commercial three or four times to watch it to see, was he really hitting himself in the face? And then I remembered that documentary that first got me interested in Mick,
yeah.
The thing where they followed him around.
Right.
I know he doesn't kid. And when you're looking at him, he's saying to the guy, are you capable? But you know I'm capable of, boom! 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 Boom!
Any stitches required after that?
I guess he could have used a couple.
A little butterfly on it?
Yeah, they had a doctor there. He kind of rigged it up now. And
is this the guy now that you're going to fight now?
You know what? Eventually, maybe at WrestleMania.
Now, I thought you promised your family you weren't going to do that anymore.
Who promised my wife?
Yeah.
Fuck, she doesn't get your show, so I'm going to... Go outside. I'm about to talk bad about your mom, okay?
Come on now.
The kids with him.
Come on now. You promised, though.
All right, okay.
You promised.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Well, listen, buddy, you were on TV Monday night punching yourself in the face.
The truth is, my wife does not like me wrestling, but she liked it a whole lot less once the checks stopped coming in.
All right. I understand completely. All right,
you know what? She understands that the dangerous part is to do it over and over and over, but... You know, I can go out there. I haven't had a match in 4 years, so I think I'm...
Now, is this guy that you were talking about that you were punching your face in front of, did he come along in that time? Is he new? Or,
He's new, and his thing...
So he's never seen you in the ring behaving like you were behaving?
No, because the fans have come to accept me as kind of a lovable, good-natured guy, and I think I just need to show them that type of thing once in a while, though, yeah. Mike.
But, really, I've said this about Mick before, and we've had him on the show, and you know, with the books and everything, and he's a great guy. But the type of guy, you know, I've been in a lot of joints. The type of guy that I, you know, you just make other guys F their pants, man. Just by the look. And I can imagine this guy's reaction to you. And if you tweak it up, my God.
Well, you know, there's one offshoot of this I wasn't counting on. My daughter is now terrified of me.
Oh, no.
But she is.
See, bad dad? There you go, bad dad.
First time she's asked, she's up there cleaning her room. I never got that kind of reaction, and now she's like, Dad, boy, you know, I came home and above my eye was all swollen.
Oh, boy.
You know, I had the butterflies on, and she was like, Dad, why did you hit yourself? You never seen me do anything like
that. But, Mixie, that's the funniest part of it, though. Dad, why did you hit yourself?
Oh, my God.
What did you tell her?
I made a reference, and I haven't gotten any feedback on this because I haven't really talked to anybody. And I talk about getting out of wrestling, and like it's all right to be in to be like upset with the world when you're wrestling, because you got an outlet for that. Like I referenced Pete Rose, and I probably lost a lot of people because I said, man, you watch Pete Rose when he's 26 and he's running over Ray Fosse at the 69 All-Star Game, or
right.
He's taking a swing at Bud Harrelson in 73, and that's great. But when you're 61 and you're still that angry, bitter guy,
yeah, I agree.
Like it's kind of sad, you know. That's what happens to wrestlers, football players, all these guys who no longer have that outlet. They retain that. That attitude.
So this is how you're explaining it to yourself, the fact that you're getting back in the ring, that you need it for the outlet?
Well, I explained it to the audience, and I said, look, I lost that anger, you know, I didn't want to be that guy, and then all of a sudden this guy, you know, being called, can I use the B word on this?
A bitch?
Yeah, they referred to me in this political attack ad. They said, Mick Foley is nothing more than a pathetic little bitch.
Oh!
And I had always maintained that I would come back if he could legitimately make me mad, you know? And all of a sudden, it's like my kids are watching, like, Daddy just called you the B word. They ran up and they told my wife, she's like, what? And I'm like, I'm pissed at
you. All right, now really, what did your wife say to you when you got home after you hit yourself in the face? What did she? Was she mad at all?
Oh, man. You don't want to know her comment because...
I do.
Might tell you more about my wife you need to know. She thought it was kind of sexy.
There you go.
All right, you won her over.
There you go.
Now listen, Broyhill, our producer...
Hold on, let me find his jingle.
Charlie Broyhill.
He told me that you told him that you're going to be coming through D.C. Every once in a while. Why is that?
Yeah, well, you know what I... you kind of heard from my inference about Dick Cheney that I think, you know, I think the administration kind of cherry-picked the information that led to the worst possible case scenario. And then when it came to the rebuilding of Iraq, they took the information that led to the best possible case scenario. And in either case, it happened to be true. With that being said, I also am a big supporter of the troops. And I think for people who think it's not possible to have it both ways, I think they're deceiving themselves, because I feel like I'm doing the right thing, and I know I go in about every 3 weeks to visit the guys at the hospital, and
So that's why you come to town.
Yeah, I come to, you know, and it's great. I go there, and the first time I was scared to death, you know, and I told a couple people how I felt about the situation, and they're cool with it. They're like, you know, you're entitled to your opinion. We just appreciate you care about us. And a lot of, in some of these cases, guys who were really, really messed up when I first met them are now back home, and I just got tickets for a guy in Green Bay. You know, he's got a new leg and a, you know, new outlook on life. So it's been really a cool thing for me. And I you know, it's a hike. You know, it's about 11 hours of driving, but I have no question that it's one of the best things and best uses of my time I've done. So,
well, that's great. Listen, the next time you're in the D.C. area doing that, being a hero, you don't have to tell us you're being a hero. But just come by, because we'd like to see you. Yeah. I'd like to know, how'd the sales of that faggot book go?
Hey, the fag book,
oh, man. No, come on, the fag book.
I'm tempted to hit myself right here, but it wouldn't be too intimidating over the phone. Can I just say one thing, as long as I blasted Cheney and those guys?
Sure.
Yeah.
I will say that it's kind of neat that I'll go visit the guys, and they'll have pictures of the president, like, because he's just been there the day before.
Right.
And they say that he and his wife are exceptionally nice. And I just wish he could be that guy on TV instead of the guy that's rehearsed the speeches, you know, a dozen times and all that. So I'll give him credit. He genuinely seems to care.
Well, he jacks the troops up when he goes over there, that's for sure. Like when he went over there at Thanksgiving, he jacks the troops up.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd probably like to talk to him if he wasn't the president. You know, he reminds me of us. Like, he's a very good man.
But... All right, well, then let me ask you, if you're on the other side, who do you...
Now, just a second.
I'm not saying anything.
All right.
Who are you back?
But you said the other side. Were you coming from your perspective or
what? I'm a Republican. I like...
No, the other side, saying, you know, I'm not going to attack the guys and then, you know, just let it look like they're all a bunch of people.
Politically, if you think Bush is an idiot or whatever, that's cool.
Yeah.
But, so I got that from you.
He seems to be a genuinely nice guy.
So who are... But you don't want him as president. Who of the guys that are out there do you want as president?
Oh, man.
Have you picked a candidate yet?
I was undecided. But then I was able to cross Dean off after his WWE speech.
Yeah, a lot of people were.
Yeah. Clark's a little too indecisive. I need some straight answers. Man, Edwards, I like him, but I see him more as a vice president. And I think, you don't really want to, pick your president by process of elimination. That kind of leaves Kerry.
Okay.
Kerry.
All right.
Kerry is so very. Now, what if Bush reloaded with Giuliani, got rid of the Cheney and reloaded with Giuliani?
If he were to say, look, this country needs a different vision, I'm going to unload Cheney because he's got too much influence, I'm going to unload Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz, then I think people could, feel free to vote for him. My feeling is he runs the country like he's got a mandate from the public, which he doesn't. So at this election, either the public needs to get behind him and give him that mandate, or they need to get behind someone else.
Nick, who you like at the Super Bowl? I love the fact that you're a wrestler. We talk about the wrestler that you hate and then beating yourself in the head.
I think
you get serious. It's great.
I think a guy coming from the Democratic side, this is the only guy that you would give this much time to. You know, I mean, I really do. With your newfound politics that you were just talking about, how we'd be arguing on the plane
4 years ago. They were newfound. Now,
so now you're formally on the wrong side. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
All right.
I was formally on the wrong side.
Yeah. Mick, maybe the next time you swing through town, you can have a little chat with Don. I'd like him to come back. He was a Democrat when we started working together.
Ah, and you reversed him, huh?
Yeah. We didn't. He reversed himself. Buzz and I are still Democrats.
Mick, this is my theory, really, and I swear on my kids' lives, really how I feel. Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, whatever. Whoever's in there is not going to impact me.
And he means that, too.
Hey, listen.
We are going to be impacted.
No, I mean this. Whoever has that job, you know what that is? That's like the job Dan Marino has with the Dolphins. It's like, you've got the job.
The guys around him.
But you're not really doing it. You know what I mean? You're the guy. So no matter what schmuck we put in there, I'm not going to think that this guy's going to change my life. All I know is that we've had this guy in there, and we went through some of the worst times in our country's history, and somehow the dummy made it through okay. So I say, eh, go ahead.
Well, this is what I think. He had a unique chance in all of American history to unite the American people, and they were briefly united, and he blew it. And he blew it by pandering to, you know, to the hard right. And I can't forgive that. That doesn't mean I wouldn't want to hang out with him if he loses the presidency.
Are you going to be one of these? Are you going to be one of these people like Ted Danson?
Like
Ted Danson?
Well, no, I think you asking me because Ted Danson. I'm a Clark guy, and I've gotten emails. You know, as the people come on, well known people. Do people solicit you to maybe come out for a candidate so they can?
I wouldn't even. Put pressure on a candidate because that would open himself up to so much embarrassment. Wow, a professional.
Yeah, I don't know though. You got a pretty good reputation. You really do.
Yeah, no, different. See when people.
Yeah, but I just spoke with my local congressman about talking to some of the poorer school districts in our congressional district. The reason I went through him, and I must have some pull because I called one day and had the meeting the next. And I said, look, I'm tired of, proving people wrong. I just saw a teacher said, oh, it's so nice to stick in people's face when they all said, oh, he did such a great job. And I said, that shouldn't be the point. When I come in, I shouldn't be up against, administrators who don't want me there, So
right.
I talked to my congressman and I said, look, you can give me a type of legitimacy that I just, will never have no matter how many best-selling girl fag books I wrote.
All right, and the fag book that you wrote, how did it reach?
It was a fag book, but it was a sensitive book. Let's not say that.
All right,
a lot of violence in it.
Yeah, and how did that do? Was that a winning?
It did pretty well.
All right, good.
It did pretty well. It did very well in England. It's up for a prestigious award over there.
I'm listening to a guy that's when you're talking about the political career, I could see that for you. I could see that for you. Would you put the...
You'd have to get your teeth fixed.
Yeah, you'd have to do the teeth.
No, that would be the thing. When you talk about being everyone comes in and says, I'm a Washington outsider, and nobody's ever tried to pull that off while looking literally like an outsider.
If you promise to wear that red shirt, I would switch back.
There you go.
If you promise.
Very good. Worth it.
You know what I realized? We've been on for 20 minutes, and we've done everything but gratuitously plug my new DVD.
And here you go, because we got to get out of here. Mick, we've already given some of these away.
You know what? It's a simple thing. If people like me, it's a hell of a thing. If they're undecided, then they really shouldn't pick it up.
Mick Foley's greatest hits and misses... His life in wrestling, all of your favorite matches, Cactus Jack versus Big Van Vader, Cactus Jack versus Chris, who are these guys, Chris Candido?
Yeah, that's, the cool thing about this DVD
is... The Sandman?
WCW.
Oh, Stone Cold.
Mountain, ECW.
And... How about your favorite guy? What's the guy you always talk about that you hate that's in your books?
Who did I say I hated?
What is it?
Al Snow.
Man. I think Al makes, there's a little DVD extra when Al and I took a trip to Las Vegas and, I was handing out quarters for tips at the gentleman's bar and there's this priceless thing where the dancer takes the quarter, throws it at me, hit me right in the eyeball.
Ouch.
And I did the old Marsha Brady, oh my eye. Al, said, oh my nose.
Yes, 90 minutes of DVD extras, over 6.5 hours of Mick at his absolute best. And we have a copies of this now for the first 5 callers, okay, at 877-365-3636. This is on sale now. And, Mick, I have to ask you last thing. Right on the bottom of the plug sheet for your Divid. Oh, yeah, and it's a great Valentine's Day gift. I was thinking about giving out copies of Bill O'Reilly's book.
Oh, God.
What's the name of his book?
Stupidity.
Who's Looking Out for You?
Yeah, Who's Looking Out
That's
for
right.
You? God, that guy's such a whore on his show. Don't forget Valentine's Day coming around. Who's looking out for you? That's my question.
Oh, he's a far worse self-promoter than I ever dreamt of being.
He is the ultimate.
On the show today, my question is, ladies and gentlemen of America, who is looking out for you? And speaking of that, get my new book.
Right.
Please. This is a great Valentine's Day gift. But Mick, on the bottom of this, it says WrestleMania XX. That's WrestleMania 20.
Yes.
March 14th, Madison Square Garden, live on pay-per-view. How involved will you be?
Man, I think that's what the comeback's all about. I believe that will be my, my official return. And
wow.
People, we're taking note. I don't think they realize how much weight I dropped. I try to hide out of public when I'm at the 335 area. But I was down under 300 for the first time in a couple of years. So, I've got 6 or 7 weeks left to go, so I intend on being in as good a condition as I possibly can. And I'm hoping, you know, when this thing's over, that people are like, man, I wish that WrestleMania match was on the best of Foley DVD, because that's the goal, you know. I'm not out there.
There's your plug, you stupid whore.
Damn, this guy, I'm out there to give the fans a tremendous matchup.
Mick Foley's Greatest Hits, and this is A Life in Wrestling. It's on DVD now. You are a great guest.
Always
you are
a great guest. Always interesting. Always bring something to the table.
When you come here,
when I start getting booed, I'll know it's because of newfound political.
Hey, don't you know what? Don't back off of that. You state your mind. You speak your mind. That's what it's all about.
When you're here being a hero, come in and see us, for God's sakes.
I will. I definitely will.
All right, Mick. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. All right, see you later. Bye.
See you later. There goes Mankind.
Thank God. I only wish I had his courage. He's great.
I do have to say that I'm very proud of that segment. I'll tell you why.
Why is that?
Because I have to think that this is probably, he does a lot of radio interviews.
Yeah.
This is probably the only one where he could give an in-depth, you know, BS storyline of why he hates a guy, then tell you really why he really punched himself in the face, and he really did.
Right.
Because it was to intimidate, and then we get a 10-minute diatribe
on his politics.
About his political feelings.
It's great.
Good for him.
He is fun.
Yeah, he's great. He's nice.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Me.
He made it up.
Hey, Joe, what do I have to take every single call on the air today? It's a truncated show. Hey. Come on, Joe.
Hello?
Joe Arnger.
Howdy.
Dude.
Yeah.
Get the first 5 callers.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to take them.
No. Come on. I got to catch a plane.
Great.
Bye, Joe. Bye-bye.
Joe.
Joe Ardinger.
He's glad we're leaving. Buzz.
Yes.
Buzz, what is your lead story on this abbreviated, truncated news and comments today?
America's little people protest a new reality show on Fox.
Oh, here we go.
Perfect lead for a short
stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned, everybody. That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
They like their cruelty the way they like their women. Naked. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Today's truncated. We're doing half a show, so we at least give you a half a real show.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
And tomorrow, the entire 4 hours live from Houston. And tomorrow will be the worst day to do a radio show. You'll want to listen. We'll have some great guests on.
Absolutely.
And we always have fun when we travel, but tomorrow's the day when all the schmucks come into town and to Houston. All your diehard sports guys.
Yeah, all the sports geeks.
They've been there all week. Tomorrow is the day that the morning guys from, like, the top 40 stations come in. And then tomorrow afternoon, by the time we go on the air, it'll just be us and the diehards.
Right.
The poor bastards who have been there all week asking the same boring questions.
All
and
partied out.
Then we'll come in, you know,
and freshen things up.
Having a crazy time always.
Kooky and crazy.
That is tomorrow, live from Houston. Time for Buzz's News now. We'll get a little snippet of Buzz here. Brought to you by Viramax Sexual Pleasure Performance Enhancer.
Someone call for a doctor.
Dr. Bell clinically tests if Viramax works. Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, other select retailers. Try it today. Viramax. 1-888 try VMAX. I don't know about you. I love Hall & Oates. Drink it.
Yeah, lovely.
The Super Bowl is gay. It was so gay. The Hall & Oates video. I played that song because I was on, they call it the other night, VH1 Classic.
Yes. Right.
And they run the worst videos from the 80s. And Hall & Oates had the worst videos.
Hair. The pompadours, you know? Oh, my
God. They had
God.
The worst.
Did you watch Private Eyes?
Private Eyes, and we're watching you.
And I saw later where one of them, who's the one that sings? The tall one?
Daryl Hall. And Don Oates is the guitar player. Yeah,
he said that.
And G.E. Smith, their lead guitar player.
I hated him on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, he was the worst.
Anyway, he said that's the most embarrassing video that he thinks Hall & Oates ever made. was Private Eyes.
So hard to
pretty
choose.
Bad, because it is shot on videotape. It doesn't even look good.
Right.
No, correct. Buzz.
Yes.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, it had to happen just a day after Fox announced a new Bachelor-type reality show featuring a male dwarf and a dozen bachelorettes.
that.
All right.
There was an outcry.
Oh, dear.
An organization called Little People of America, LPA for short.
I think they're the ones that have that convention that Scott goes to.
That's
the
right. Orgy. They are.
The orgy.
Mm-hmm. They say it's not fair to make dwarfing women.
It is an orgy, that convention. Scott's called them
says
that convention.
He just gets laid and laid and laid.
The way he tells it, yeah. Anyway, LPA.
I was going to say, this reminds me of my favorite thing that Mike ever said at a Christmas party.
What's that?
When you met Scott's wife.
Mm-hmm.
You actually said it, so. Is this the little woman?
Yeah, well, I'd had a couple of cocktails. Sorry about that.
You're funny.
Sorry. Then she kicked me right in the shin.
Ouch. Little People of America says it's not fair to make dwarfing women compete with average-sized women. The head of the group, Matt Roloff, tells the New York Daily News it sounds demeaning. He says that if The Bachelor goes for an average-sized woman in the end, it could make all of America's little women feel inferior.
And didn't we watch midget porn
when
Bobby Mailman was here?
That's there was a little guy with a full-sized woman.
Yeah, and it's so funny that you got your midget guy, but he's got
regular size units.
Stuff, right.
Yeah, his junk.
Matt's...
I'm just riffing here, thinking you know who would know a lot about this.
Who?
Infinity Vice President Jay Stevens.
Yeah, he'd know about it because I think he... I think he's got normal size part. No.
No.
No. Hi, how are you?
He has the size genitals that would appeal to Michael Jackson. As a matter of fact, Jay Stevens could go to Neverland Ranch and maybe he'd have some Jesus juice.
Yeah, because he'd pass himself off as just a little boy.
The head of the Little People of America says he doesn't object to reality shows that feature little people. He says it's given America's dwarves more work. He says he's even been in one. And he commends Fox for seeking advice on things like whether to have stools for the little people to stand on.
Stools?
The answer, by the way, is yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I only mention the name Jay Stevens because I'm not really sure about this. And if I'm wrong, well, sue me. But I'm pretty sure he's one of the many, many Infinity guys that are going to the Super Bowl just to go to the Super Bowl because it's like some kind of perk for them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Even though the company says that they can't afford to give anybody a raise.
Yeah, exactly.
Now we're going there, and it's fun, but it's paid for by Westwood One.
Well, we're doing a broadcast.
Westwood One sells it to advertisers.
Right. Right.
So my question to Jay Stevens and to Alan Leinwand and to all of the others who want to scream from the highest mountaintop that times are tight, we got to watch every penny.
Yes.
Right. Exactly how is it that you guys ended up staying at, I don't want to say the name of the hotel.
Very but nice. A fine five-star luxury hotel.
That the executives are staying at, but, well, it's...
We the schleps that are doing the work.
I'll give you a hint. It's the title of an Alan Alda movie.
There you go. Very scary.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's staying there.
Very scary.
He's staying there. You know. We're staying at the Holiday Inn, and we're fine with that.
Yeah. Right.
He's staying at the Alan Alda place.
Come on.
Short people got no reason to live. I'm getting back to the midget thing. I'm just riffing now. Yeah. And if Jay Stevens is not one of the people sucking on the collective infinity teat.
Uh-huh. Hey, knock it off, a-hole.
At the Super Bowl, then I take it back.
A-hole.
Good for you.
Then I take it back.
Hey, a-hole.
Hey, Jay.
Knock it off, a-hole.
You know, I'm not really...
Yeah, I'm staying at the fine hotel. You got a problem with that?
Yeah, I do, little man.
Oh, magically delicious.
We scored another win against telemarketers today. As of today, a new federal law requires the people who interrupt our dinners, our TV viewing, and our lives can no longer disguise themselves from your caller ID. They have to display the name of their company. In fact, the phone number that shows up, by law now, has to be a number you can call back during regular business hours to ask that you be removed from their calling list. Excuse me. And by law... That was me.
Well, you never do that.
And by law, once you make that request, they have to comply. Otherwise, you can report their sorry asses to the Federal Trade Commission.
Comply or die.
That's right. There's a website for that.
Challenge you.
donotcall.gov. And there's an $1,100 fine for each violation.
The Carré Limon.
Companies that are in areas that don't yet have caller ID don't have to comply, but they won't be able to hide much longer. Also exempt are charities, pollsters, politicians, and companies with which you've recently done business.
I've noticed that a lot of the calls that we get, now the number is showing up. It doesn't have a name, but it'll have an area code.
Yeah, right. I get the area code.
And so you see, like, the area code, and you think, 212. Well, it could be anybody that I knew in New York.
Right. Do you get the calls from the state police associations, too?
Yeah.
They're the ones that scare me a little bit.
And you know what?
Still get those.
I've toughened up on that.
Good for you.
I've
toughened on them, too.
I said to the guy, I think it was before the holidays when he called, I said, I support the police, mm-hmm. but seriously, in my pantry, I've still got like 8 containers of the jams or jellies, whatever it is.
Right.
I said, I'd be glad to, but do you have to send the jelly? Mm-hmm. Would you please pass the jelly?
I said, I'm very busy. Go away.
No,
and then immediately after that, 3 unmarked cars pulled into my driveway.
I let the guy down easy. I said, I don't really want the jelly, mm-hmm. but I'd be glad to make the donation.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but... my wife isn't here now, and she handles all the money right. and stuff. Maybe you could call back at another time.
True.
And you will. You know, to a normal telemarketer, I would not have been that polite. Mm-hmm. I would have just hung up. But as soon as they say...
Virginia State Police Association.
Right. That's when, for whatever reason, you think like they're watching you through your TiVo or something. Mm-hmm. And you go, yeah. Oh, Christ, is my fly undone?
It's intimidating, and they know that.
Right.
And
like, oh, no. It's the cops calling.
Hello? Hello?
I'll let my machine get it.
All right.
Michael Soares.
Hello!
There it is.
Hey, pal, it's Dave Letterman.
Yep. Dave.
I've got an important bulletin for you.
Okay.
I'm quitting my TV show.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm going to be the new lead singer for Van Halen. Yeah.
You know, even 10 years later, that joke still works.
It holds up.
That
yeah.
joke
it
still
really
works.
Sure.
Because
really
somebody really could be the new lead singer for Van Halen.
Hello, Dave.
We're running out of time, so I only have time to tell you that hundreds of thousands of Bowflex machines are being recalled for safety reasons.
Oh, no.
Over 70 people have been injured.
Oh, dear.
In sports, the University of Minnesota's top football recruit this year has backed out of the deal because he's shocked, really. He says a number of Gophers took him and 3 other recruits, including one who was underage, to a strip club. The coach is not available for comment. He's out recruiting.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. There's some guy being recruited to play college football.
Right.
And they take him to a titty bar.
Right.
And he complains.
He objects to that.
So
he
backs out of the deal?
That's right.
Okay. So he signed a letter of intent and then he backed out of it. He's not going to the college.
Not going to
a titty bar.
Because he didn't want to go to the titty bar?
Yeah. You don't back out for that. You back out for pine cones and golf balls.
And in Denver, prospective football players were recruited with orgies, which was fine until one of the women at one of those parties cried rape.
Well,
school officials deny.
Just hold your applause.
The orgy charge.
He likes to trick
Limon. I don't know what happened.
And finally, an Iowa man with no prior criminal record is now a registered sex offender. The Davenport man reportedly exposed himself to 3 women, including the mail carrier and the next door neighbor. They say he stood in his doorway naked and aroused.
Oh,
dear.
He tried several defenses in court. He argued that he was having trouble keeping up his pants after recently losing some weight. His wife testified that the mail carrier could not possibly have seen her husband's thing from that far away because he's not that well endowed. Neither excused work. He's now going to jail for doing his own Iowa caucus.
Hey. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
You almost got a dirty one in. You almost got the dirty one in. Well, today we're not playing our normal story. We're out of time, so.
Yeah, where are we going?
Deep in the heart of Texas.
We're going to Houston, Mike.
The prairie sky.
We're going for the Super Bowl.
Where are we going?
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Yeah.
The sage and blue.
Good Lord willing.
Like perfume.
Clear sailing.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Unless we all explode in a firebomb.
I'm going to buy a hat.
Deep in the we'll see you tomorrow.
Everybody looks good in a hat.
Horse hockey. Live from Houston, Texas, from the Super Bowl. Now, please stay tuned for outstanding entertainment program. Joe running the best of.
Yes, that should be challenging. So challenging.
We can go get on the airplane. Right. Okay. Good day to you,
good
sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
You.
Yes.
See you there.
If you must.
And Rob, you brought the movie Radio so we could watch it on the plane, right?
The class movie. Well, that's right, everybody.
BM.
Eaters.
This. He's the Don and Mike Show.
I'm mad. I am mad enough. And yet still very self-conscious that I'm going to write a book. And I'm going to talk. I wanted to believe. And I tried my damnedest to believe in the rainbow that I tried to get over it. And I couldn't. So what?
The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, look what I found. Grandpa's old radio. Oh, wouldn't it be grand to gather round and have a listen?
Well, turn something on. I'm starting to think.
They like holes, not poles. Don and Mike.
47 dead bees living in a back street.
new general manager is in the building. If you would like the first chance to interview him in the year 2000.
I'm ready for that first. I'd like to get that out.
Why don't we bring in the new leader in? Rob,
do we have the coronation music? Do we have the you know, the official, real, dramatic British fanfare?
Do we have, like, any dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun? Why don't you get Hail to the Chief? There we go.
Here we go.
All right.
We are going to bring in our brand-new leader.
Good.
Big Al, your radio pal.
Alan Linewand, who's made many appearances on this show as the slimy sales manager.
Yes, he has been promoted. He has been here a good long time, and he has been rewarded for his efforts.
He has now crawled up the ladder.
Yes.
He's crawled up the food chain.
He's a younger man than Ken. He's a go-getter.
Crawls like a reptile on his belly.
Mm-hmm. We have to be, in fairness, he is a better-looking man than Ken, but then again,
who
that's every man in the building.
Right, who isn't?
That's right.
So let's interview the new general manager, because I think that probably you and I are the only two people in the building who are not treating him any differently.
This is true.
In the year 2000. Everybody else, of course, Father Time, I've not seen you with him, and I have not seen Rob with him, but all the other people around the station are in that ass-kiss mode like you would not believe with this guy.
You know, he's continuing to have his office down here on the main floor, and there is just a revolting flurry of activity outside that office. It's incredible. I've never seen anything quite like it.
And now here he is.
Here he is, ladies and gentlemen.
The new vice president and general manager of CBS-owned and operated radio station WJFK-FM in Washington, D.C. The man with his finger on the button, the power broker, formerly known as Alan Linewand, now forever known as Big Al, your radio pal.
We give you Alan Linewand.
Alan!
The new
Linewand!
Boss.
Hello, Alan.
Welcome.
Congratulations, Alan. And welcome to the Don and Mike Show in your new capacity as our boss.
General manager.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
I hope this doesn't ruin a beautiful friendship, Al.
No, I mean, you guys are great. Why would it ruin anything?
Well, you know, you already have that that aura around you where you dropped into the office the other day, and I felt a slight difference. You know what I mean?
And I felt different also. And Mike said to me that he could tell that I was treating you differently.
Yes,
now.
I immediately, you know, you came in, and I was chatting with you very similar to the way I used to chat with Ken. And it was that nice conversation, but not forgetting now that things are different, that you are the man, that you are the boss. And Don immediately was like filing papers on his desk and just looked up very briefly, just like he used to do with Ken. And, you know, I mean, congratulations. I mean, it's a new position.
You got to be careful how you play these guys, Mike.
I understand that, Don.
We got to feel Alan out. We've not been through a crisis yet with Alan.
No, and of course that'll be.
And there will be no crises.
Oh, yes, there will be.
We've not yet had an FCC action against us with Alan. We've not yet been sued with Alan in charge. We've not yet had a client cancel a contract with Alan in charge.
We will tell you that Ken, although we had our moments with Ken, always very supportive in those moments of crises, and we certainly hope we have your support as well.
I have no reason to do anything differently.
That's good.
So, Alan.
Yes?
Tell me something.
Oh, boy.
First off. No.
This is going to be fun.
This is going to be very nice. I have a couple questions for you. First, true or false, that you orchestrated at the Christmas party the entire announcement, that you went to Ken and you said to Ken, tonight's the night at this party in front of these people, many of them already halfway bombed on their way to an AA meeting.
If true, a brilliant strategic move.
Tonight is the night to tell them. Did you tell Ken to announce it at the Christmas party?
I urged him to make some type of announcement.
What would you thought behind that?
You want to know the process?
Yeah.
Well, Ken had pulled me in that morning, closed my door, which is always a concern when the door closes.
Sure. Right.
It's always a concern when Ken's in my office, because he's never in my office, actually. I'm usually in his office. So he put his hand out, and he said, congratulations. My first thought was, he's being sarcastic. I screwed something up.
You're fired. Right?
Exactly. Sure. And then my second thought was, I knew he wasn't congratulating me for a good year we had, because that never happens either.
And that is the way, incidentally, that Ken fires people. He always puts his hand out and says, congratulations, and then the person is either
moving on to your next opportunity.
Right. Either there's a promotion or you're gone. That's right.
And at that point, and this all happened within seconds, my thought process, I said, for what? Very honestly. And he said, you're the new vice president, general manager, WJFK, effective Monday.
And of course, that is when the what is it? The puff of black smoke came out of the top of the building,
right? Like a poke.
Absolutely.
At that point, the only thing I remember is I got quite nauseous.
Mm.
I think I got dizzy.
Yeah.
I had to sit down.
Now, this is something you were not unhappy to have this job. This is
he's been waiting for Ken to get hit by a bus for the last 9 years.
You were delighted at it, but you also probably were aware of the, it's Ken's job. What responsibility?
And are you aware, here's your next question, are you aware of the new nickname you have around here? Bill Belichick.
Oh, that's great.
I've heard that from a couple people in the halls.
Really?
That you're the new Bill Belichick.
But don't worry. Bill Belichick quit the day after he was hired.
Yeah, no. I don't think that was the inference. The inference is that, you know, Ken was very careful in the way that he worded his statement to the press, saying that while you were the general manager and the vice president, that Ken would still be overseeing the station.
Well, Ken will be my rabbi.
And of course, Don, in the spirit of goodwill, you will be furnishing Alan with the list of names
of
people that called him Bill Belichick.
Yes, of course I will.
We're in your corner, Al.
In just a moment.
Absolutely.
So, moving right along, because I've got some other things I've got
to do. What about the office situation upstairs? Ken is going to keep the luxury corner. Will you be moving to the executive floor?
He wants me to take his office. Quite honestly, I'd be very happy remaining in the office I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so you'll be on our floor now.
That's what I'm understanding.
You will be taking Ken's floor.
That's
a beautiful office.
I mean, Ken's office on the third floor.
You could make it nicer.
I mean, you know what? Office size doesn't matter to me. I mean, none of that really matters.
Oh, come on. Bull ass. Are you aware?
I'm just happy.
Are you aware that your program director, Jeremy Coleman, takes many, many sick days, many beach days? Are you aware of his absentee record here at the station?
Well, no. The one thing I'm aware of is the ratings are killer.
Are you aware that he has nothing to do with those ratings?
Well,
he's like a babysitter. He just sits and listens to the station. The station just churns out fantastic ratings.
I just know year in and year out, we get stronger and stronger, and Jeremy's a big part of that.
Could you detail how Jeremy's a big part of that?
Give me a few weeks.
He's new.
Good answer.
Because I'm telling you, the guy, you know, because Ken was never here. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
Ken was an absentee manager. And I can't tell you how many times I come in, I have a question for Jeremy. Where's Jeremy? Oh, Jeremy's up in Albany today.
Jeremy will not be able to answer your question due to the fact that he's in London.
Right. Jeremy's on his 3-week trip to London because Ken's not coming in for 3 weeks.
Well, listen, I'll commit one thing to you. I will be here every day. I may not have the answer to your question, but I will be here every day.
That's good.
And how do you feel about the supreme ass-kissing you've been getting? And come on, you know you've been getting that from everybody around here.
Do you think so?
Oh, God, please.
I noticed
you saw out there yesterday.
There's been a sea of activity outside of your office, and it's not all business.
It seems like a bakery to me right now, and I feel like, you know, people, it's been ridiculous only because business is very strong, thankfully, knock on wood.
Right.
Bell, please.
Oh. Yes, Mr. Landmore.
Yes, already. So a little more assertive. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Just a little more assertive.
I don't know if this is noticeable on the air, but
no,
we're getting
definitely
a
different style.
Different Al we're getting right now.
They brought Al in to, you know, crack the whip a little bit.
So business is very strong. We're cranking with that. We've got a large sales effort.
Uh-huh.
And then other people now have filtered into my world. And I can't even filter it in. They're just kissing your ass, Alan.
Who's going to get your old job as general sales manager?
There will be somebody who gets that job.
Will that person be, is that person currently on the staff here at WJFK-FM?
There are incredibly strong candidates here. Absolutely strong candidates.
Are you thinking about
rumors? I've heard rumors.
Who have you heard, Mike?
I've heard rumors of a former employee who was very near and dear to the show that might take that job.
A former employee?
Yes, I have. Yes.
Give me an initial.
I will give you an impression, as opposed to an initial.
Okay.
Hello, Don. How you doing? Good to see you. Yeah, Rob got it.
Who is it?
Steve Goldstein.
Steve Goldstein? Hey, well, Frankenstein.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind Steve Goldstein.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you'd piss people off if you hired Steve Goldstein.
See, we're making your job easier already.
Really, I'm telling you that all those people back there right now, they want that job.
And immediately passing the buck, it was David Hamline that said that to me.
I've got all of some deja vu here that it's back in 1992. It's my first week here from my former radio station, all letters to be excluded. And you asked me who I was going to fire on the sales staff.
Yes, and I'll ask you the same question now during your coronation as Vice President General Manager.
Mm-hmm.
How long do you think it will be in the calendar year 2000 until you fire your first employee, until you have your first beheading?
There's absolutely no reason to even be thinking about that.
But you will fire somebody in the year 2000.
No, people will leave if they need to leave.
How long do you think it will be till the first person leaves under your regime?
You know, I couldn't even guess.
You know, technically, because he was...
I hope it's never. I mean,
you know, because you were a sales manager, I'm thinking that the sales staff pretty much has been under your guidance. So you got the people here that you wanted, at least for now. So, you know, the people that you would not have jurisdiction over would be like in the engineering and the programming department and stuff like that. So those would be the people.
We had some of the best folks around. I mean,
come on, let's be honest. The program director is a shadow. He's never here. And you talk about the engineers. Look at the crap in the studio, Alan. Can I tell you something? Are you general manager? You see this? No, this is blank screen.
Doesn't work.
I got no computer in here. I got nothing. I got Father Time has a computer over there.
That's right. Yeah, we're great.
You know what? You know Buzz, don't you? Buzz Burbank?
Hi. How you doing?
Our news guy, Buzz.
Good to see you.
Did you get a big hefty raise? They're keeping you at the same salary.
I normally don't speak about my
compensation.
Did you get a raise? Let's leave it at that.
Inevitable.
All right, maybe you'll answer this one.
Hi, David.
There's David Hayline.
You asked about folks.
There's David Hayline. Okay. He just indicated you're on the block there, Dave.
Tell me how great it was with your wife the night after you found out you were the general manager. Whatever the first night was that you had glorious relations with your wife. And you said, I'm the general manager.
I mean this with all due respect. Your wife looked just fabulous at the Christmas party.
My wife is terrific, and she's great.
So how was it having sex with the general manager's wife? Did it change things at all? Did you make her call you the general manager while you guys were doing it?
Answered the first question you asked me, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Well, which was what?
Mike asked me yesterday in jest,
but yes. I guess it's filtering around that I orchestrated this whole announcement. Wasn't that the first question you asked me?
But I'd like to know, was it any different with your wife? You know, with you guys... After the party,
my wife.
When you went home,
my wife. Let's leave it at that.
Did it change it for me? If I got a big promotion, I'd go home. I would, you know, shoot my wife.
My wife is very happy to hear the news. Very proud of me. And you know what can I tell you?
Okay. So things were never. Was it the greatest night you've had since you've been married?
I've had incredibly great nights.
Was it the greatest night of sex you had since you've been married? I think that's pretty good. It's got to be pretty good sex, general manager sex.
Oh, boy.
It's got to be better than general sales manager sex, right?
I'm developing a brand new relationship with Alan right now. I feel that happening.
So why did you feel the need to orchestrate this at the Christmas party?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by. We will return to our regularly scheduled program momentarily.
Where do I begin?
To tell the story.
I could certainly bore Mike with the stuff I was just telling him in the office about my wife. I think
Didn't bore me. That didn't bore me.
I think I'll wait till later to tell you how things are going, my wife and I.
I want to hear that. I empathized with your situation. I totally did.
I mean, things are going fine. It's just...
Good.
You know,
I understand.
Sometimes...
A little tense.
There's too much. I mean, there's too much information that is given out in just a very small amount of time.
Yeah, and I think that's what life is all about. It's all about timing. It's all about, you know, that's when people get a little overwhelmed, when things come one right after another, and frankly, a little overkill.
You know, I can take all the stuff that I told you about in the office that I will get into later, which is just the humdrum every day.
Sure.
You know, being married for 18 years, that stuff. But then when you top that off,
mm-hmm.
with the life insurance guy coming over,
right,
to sign papers, and I have to sit while my wife and this guy are discussing how much money she's going to receive when I die,
right,
and when they're making it sound like, for all they know, it could be tomorrow.
Sure.
You know, it takes the edge off a little bit.
I understand, and you know, what you were telling me in the office was simply a series
of circumstances that happened to all come at the same time, and I understood completely why you were a little put off.
All of the events today, but I won't waste your time with that right now. I'll wait until later to waste your time with that.
Very good.
Because I have a present that I want to open up.
Okay.
On the radio that came from the good people at Portland Volvo.
Portland, Maine or Portland, Oregon?
Maine. Portland,
God
Maine.
God love them. Man, love the Mainites.
Great. Portland, Maine.
Send him a package.
From Scarborough, Maine. It says, Dear Don and Mike, I heard Don talk about fixing his Volvo and thought he might like a few Volvo toys.
Oh, cool.
I wasn't quite sure what to send except another headlight. Now, look what this guy sent me. Robbie, bring the box over. Take a look at this.
That is a big Volvo box that you have.
Huge. Take a look at this.
You can get a Volvo.
It says Volvo on the outside of it.
Now, look at this. This is a gigantic sign that lights up.
Oh, that's cool.
That I'm going to put in my garage that says Volvo Service Department. Now, is that fantastic?
That is somebody great. Who's thinking it's got little credit card signs on the one side of
that
it.
That is great. And you know what's so great is that tomorrow I'm going to attempt to put the brake pads on the car tomorrow morning.
That's exciting. And so you'll be able to have your service department light on top of it.
Look at that. It's got the little things on top so you can hang this baby up. This is like, this came out of a real car dealership.
Right. It did. There's the service department in your garage.
Is that fantastic?
That's pretty cool. Who's the guy that sent it to you?
Hold on. Let me get the letter. Wait a minute.
It's got the logo and
John
everything.
Knight.
Way to go, Johnny.
Oh, wait, he sent me more crap, too.
Love cool. Maine. Love those people up there.
Sent me a headlight.
Well, you have a headlight.
No, he sent me an extra one for the next time it busts.
There you go.
Great.
And he sent me, what are these? Gloves. Oh, I guess they're gloves to work on the car with.
Let me see.
Are they driving gloves or working gloves?
No, they're working gloves. Look at, they're like, they're plastic gloves, like to work on the car with.
I guess that's what the guys use. Rob, is the light working?
No, it doesn't seem to work.
What light?
Rob was plugging your light in to see if it worked.
Oh.
It did not light up.
Oh, it did not light up?
No, maybe that's why it parted with it.
Oh.
Maybe if you put that bulb in there.
Does it have a bulb, Rob?
No, this is the bulb for my car. the H7.
Doesn't have a switch on it or anything?
I bet it has a switch on it. I bet it just doesn't instantly go on when you plug it in. Oh, what did you do?
I think I figured it out.
What?
Listen to this.
I think there is a bulb in it.
Yeah.
In pieces.
That's all right. It. Well, you know what? It's so it won't light up. Big
well, you
deal.
Know what? We've got fluorescent lights here. Undo the back of it and put a real bulb in it.
Sure. No, don't worry about it.
It's got like 60 screws.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I'll just take it home. Just hang
give
it up
it to
on
Wendell.
The wall.
He can take care of that in 2 minutes
that's
or less.
Right.
It's true.
You know, that's not a bad idea. Why don't you give that to Wendell and
Wendell
ask him to fix
jobs.
That?
Wendell loves jobs. He loves projects right. like that.
Ask him to fix that for me. I want to thank the good people at Portland Volvo. That is a wonderful sign that I will hang in my garage.
That's terrific, and you know how I feel about people up in Maine. I think that's good folks. They got their thinking caps on.
That's pretty nice. A big, giant box that says Volvo on it.
Yo, Virgil!
Now, that is funny.
I had that disc jockey. He's talking about his car. He likes to work on it. Why don't you give him that old sign we don't need in the garage anymore? Send
that's
it to him.
Good. I cannot wait to get home and do that.
See that? Yeah, that one that we have in the back room that says service department. Just put that on the, give that to the UPS man. Send it right down to him.
Oh, you know, I did forget to tell you about in the office something else that happened to me at home today.
Yes.
That we also had the wonderful experience of Jehovah's Witnesses coming to our house today. And real upscale Jehovah's Witnesses, they're driving a Lexus. Now,
really?
Yeah. Shouldn't Jehovah's Witnesses be like taking those, like a rickshaw around or something? Or shouldn't they be on horseback or something?
Absolutely not. No, I was on a farm full of Jehovah's Witnesses, and we went to a picnic for a lady that used to babysit for my kids, and she was a Jehovah's Witness. And we went out there, and we were on the farm of this huge, huge farm. I mean, this guy had everything. He had dump trucks. He had acres and acres of land. He had this huge house, and he was extremely wealthy, and he was a Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, I'm sure it was one of my wife's friends. I saw this nice Lexus pulling up.
No
brand
idea.
New Lexus.
Be surprised. There are many. They live among us.
Wow.
Hey, hi, honey.
Well, hi. We're just talking to Mom.
To your mom.
Yeah.
Oh, what a nice happenstance that is.
Oh, what a surprise.
I was just talking about those freaking Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, they were very pleasant people. Now, you don't have to be hostile.
Oh, no, I wasn't hostile because I didn't talk to them.
I know, and I tried to spare them, because they left off their literature, which actually I would read because I'm curious about all different types of religions, and
Not me. Stay away.
I know.
Anybody
but
that's
then
gotta come.
Said, then they started to say, and they said, well, we'll come back and discuss it with you, and I'm thinking to myself, You know, you're lucky you met me at the door.
Anybody that wants to come to my house to try to sell me on religion, forget about that.
If you don't want to worry about celebrating Christmas, though, it's a good religion to be a part. They don't celebrate the holidays.
Or birthdays.
Or birthdays.
Easy for those.
Oh, I could never do that then.
No birthdays, no Christmas.
Love Christmas, I love birthdays.
No presents.
But, Mike, it would be handy for you because, you know, you wouldn't have to make those homemade cards and all that kind of stuff. You wouldn't be caught by surprise.
Yeah, I know. And are you? I never got you your card, did I?
No, I think you're like 3 years in arrears.
I gave Rob a beautiful mobile on his birthday.
A mobile with Mike's publicity photo.
It was
all chopped up.
It was lovely. Rob collects them, you know.
What a pain in the ass, though, these people. They come pulling up to the door. I was positive with some of my wife's, you know, society friends. Mm-hmm. And I said, honey, it's for you. It's
because
a Lexus.
They were driving a big, expensive car, too.
Right.
You know, just I'm probably the only person here. I've had a house full of them. I've entertained a whole table full of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Christ. And it was okay.
We had a great time.
Good.
I even was able to make a Jehovah's Witness joke. And it was, we had a woman work for us for a long time, and there was never any, you know, she understood. Well, I put the ground rules down right away that, you know, your religion is your religion. I respect it.
I find them to be very intrusive. I don't like them coming to the door and
they're
trying to peddle their voodoo.
I forgot what they call it. There's a name for it, too, when they're doing that. It's
witnessing?
Not voodoo. It's not witnessing. It's,
no, I had it right.
Where they go door to door. They're all obligated to do a certain
peddling.
Hours of peddling.
They're peddlers. That's what they are.
You're supposed to do a number of hours.
Isn't it recruiting for Satan?
No, Rob. Oh. That is incorrect.
Hey, did anybody watch that movie last night? The movie with Kate Jackson?
Oh, Aaron Spelling's movie.
About what was it? It was Girls of Satan or something like that?
No, I didn't see that.
It was Satan School for Girls.
That was it.
Aaron Spelling's remake of the 1974 Aaron Spelling movie.
It was on Channel 7 last night. It wasn't bad.
Was it all about Jehovah's Witnesses? Is that what it was about?
No, I just turned it on for a second and saw Kate Jackson. And there was no one talking like in the scary... Exorcist voice. I turned it right off.
And she was in the arena.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I miss you.
Yeah, you should. You never come see me.
I've been busy.
Everybody's busy. And don't lie to me. I know your father forbids your coming down here.
He doesn't, honest. He just doesn't want us to talk about you in the house.
Well, you can go shit in his hat. Oh, I shouldn't use that kind of talk. Don't let me ever catch you talking that way.
The Don and Mike Show.
Not just lowbrow, they're nobrow. Don and Mike.
This morning, oh, Christ, did we go through it this morning? About, you know, we have not even gone up to New York yet to do the show.
Oh, I got these plans.
We have not even gone to New York yet to do the show from WNEW. We'll start doing that in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last night when we were going to bed, she's got a book, Where to Live in New York. And she's looking through this book, and she says to me, you know what might be good if we just sublet an apartment in New York?
I just finished emailing somebody on that, you know.
And I said last night, because I just wanted it to go away, I said, you know what? We can discuss this another time. Well, little did I know that another time was going to be 8 hours later.
Sure.
This morning when I came down for breakfast, when the first thing, again, you know, and why you like doing this, before I've had a chance to wake up or have any coffee, I don't know. It's like I come downstairs and she is bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and she goes, hey, we're going to sublet an apartment in New York. And I said, I'm going up there 2 days a week. You and Bart are going to, like, come up on the occasional week. I don't want an apartment. In New York, and we went through a whole big drawn-out scene this morning about this.
But, you know, I was thinking, Boo, to your credit and my credit, that we had a heated discussion, and we ended it by reaching a compromise and hugging. And I thought, what a good lesson for our son on how to resolve a conflict and come to a common ground.
Yeah, and I'd like to just point out that the compromise we reached was that I said, you know what? I've not even gone up there yet to start this new job.
Right.
How about letting me get up there and let me start the job
sure.
before you halfway move us to New York?
And I will just research it and get everything squared away, well, which is the way it works in our family, because I'm the one who looks into researching. And
you sublet an apartment. How does that pay for itself if you're going to be up there 2 days a week?
Well, because to begin with, you know, it's a lot less expensive than if you had a hotel room every night, and you don't have to cook as much because it has a kitchen and everything, and you just sublet it for a month, and it's kind of...
I'm hearing this morning, and I'm thinking, I have not even been up there. I mean, I know the station's in Midtown Manhattan, but beyond that, I don't even know where the station is.
Oh, I know where it is.
No! What did I tell you, Mike? She got a goddamn map in New York.
Man, I'd love to know where it is. Where is it?
I've got the map on my Palm Pilot, so I won't get lost.
It sounds to me like what I'm hearing here is that your wife's going to be moving full time to New York.
Yeah, to New York.
No, I'm just doing a little, I think it's exciting, maybe for a month or something, a vacation.
Oh, honey, see, that for me it's a job, for you it's a vacation.
Well, like I was talking with Ross Stevens today,
and
we were talking about you and Ken, you guys have to work, but other than that...
That's dangerous.
You know,
that's dangerous when Ross calls.
Grown. I mean, somebody has to earn the living, and we understand that, and we respect you for it. But don't get in our way. You know, I mean, I'd like to go to New York for a few weeks. I think it would be exciting.
I understand. Just, you know, I mean, you know, and you'd also like to go to Spain this summer.
Well...
And you'd like me to also pay for your mother to go to Spain.
Let me see if I get this right, Freddie. You're going to be living in New York?
Well, not full-time. Not full time, but I will go up there.
You know what'll probably end up happening? She will probably end up getting a goddamn apartment in New York, and I will end up staying in whatever the crappy CBS Trade Hotel is.
No, you can come and stay with me if I don't have like friends up there, because you know most of my girlfriends.
It was just too much today.
And I also, I didn't even go into the other idea that we could share an apartment with the O'Mara. Oh,
Jesus Christ!
Right.
And
honey,
then we could use
what?
It alternately.
Honey, slow down.
Okay. Well, these
slow
are
down. You know what? We've not even been up there to do one show from New York.
She's very excited.
I know she is. She's excited that I'm soon going to die and she's going to get rich.
Yeah.
She's excited that apparently I'm paying for her to go to Spain this summer with her mother.
Oh, yeah.
She's excited that we are going to be subletting an apartment in New York when I haven't even been to New York yet.
Well, you know, the good thing about that is the New York real estate prices. They're very reasonable.
Oh, and then that's the other thing she was telling me. She was looking at prices. And I said, do you realize what kind of crack house we're going to be living in for the money you're talking about?
No, Yogi Bear, I mean, if you're talking about the price of a hotel, you think that they're reasonable in New York?
No, but I think it would be more reasonable if we're going to New York for 2 days a week.
Yeah,
I think it would be more reasonable to stay in a hotel than to rent an apartment.
You will be there 2 days a week, but I was thinking maybe taking a longer weekend there or being there. You know, I was.
Imagine how great it must be to be you. How great it must be to be you.
It is good.
Life is an adventure for you. Jesus.
I enjoy my life.
You're going to get an apartment in New York.
But I told you in my last life.
Going to go to Spain.
You're
going to buy some more insurance and pray to God that I die so that you'll be even richer.
In my last life, I had a very hard time, and I think it's just my karma come around this life.
That... I don't want to upset you here, but I'm going to say this to your wife, because I think if she was to do this, it would be, I know how Frida operates, and Frida would probably gather quite a bit of information about, you know, what to do, how to live, you know, where to go, the transportation situation. She would probably be a very good person to like... Sorry about that.
Come on, no, do not.
It would be a nice...
No.
Sorry.
No.
I have got all kinds of information already, Mike, and I'd be happy to share it with you and your wife. I mean, I've got all kinds
Christ.
Of... Christ! Now, my
welcome
husband is
one... to my... nightmare. Honey, for the last time, I have not even been inside the radio station yet.
That's fine.
How about, let me get up there.
You've made Rob nervous. He just dropped an entire tray of cards.
Let me get up there. Let me start doing the job up there.
Okay.
Before you move us to New York.
I'll just keep all my little thoughts to myself.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I was bubbling over with them last night. I usually don't try not to throw all this at you. I know that you don't react well, but this has been stewing for since you...
I know, but do you understand my position, right? Like we discussed this morning.
Right.
You're putting a cart ahead of the horse. You got to let me get up there and start the job first.
I'm throwing too much at you, and you've got a lot... You've got a lot on your plate, and you've got a lot of other stuff to concentrate on. So you just let me handle this, and
yes.
handle your thing. And, we'll
and do me a favor, Frida, if you can. Don't mm-hmm. be speaking to my wife for about another 2 months or so.
I'll get it all figured out before I start. Unlocking.
She's like a big Girl Scout troop leader.
She is.
Yeah. Get everybody organized.
We'll be in the same building. We'll all be in the same building.
You know,
we get a special block deal on apartments.
The last time I checked, the hotel was fine with me.
Well, the hotel's fine, yeah.
You know, but it really, you won't like a hotel.
Well, the company's going to pay for the hotel.
Yeah, but see, my idea this morning, which we won't even get.
Oh, no, okay, no, this is what put me over the edge.
My idea
was... Listen, hold on, let me announce
it. No, let me...
This is what she said. She says, I want you today... Now, she's telling me what to do. She says, I want you to call Ken... And I want you to ask Ken if he will subsidize us renting an apartment in New York.
Here was my idea.
And I said, right. I said, honey,
no.
The hotel that the company will put us up in New York, it's called a trade. The hotel runs commercials, and the station doesn't have to pay for the room. I'll be damned mm-hmm. if I'm going to call Ken up and say, hey, Ken, listen, my wife would really love to spend a couple of days in New York. How about you go halvesies on the rent on an apartment? He will tell me to go F myself.
No, you see, you didn't even let me. That's why I was up. I shouldn't have sprung at all.
She said she wanted to call Ken, and then I said, right. Don't call Ken. I didn't want my wife calling the general manager. She said, okay, I'll call Jeremy. I said, I don't want my wife.
Not that I'm getting nervous or anything, but we're going up there 2 days a week,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah, right.
Just double checking.
Yes. No, we don't want to move. I don't want to move.
2 days a week, Mike.
No, okay. No, no. I just want to take a summer vacation.
You'd like to spend the summer in New York.
You are taking a summer vacation. I am paying for you and your mother to go to Spain.
Okay, well, that's just 1 week. There's like 9 weeks during the summer.
It is just crystallized. I understand exactly what she's doing. She's planning her summer itinerary.
That's right.
You know, that's fine. Have a wonderful summer. Just don't call my boss. Don't call my program director. And let me please just get started there before you start this stuff.
All right.
Please.
I'll just keep it to my...
I've got
the wheels in motion, but don't you worry about a thing.
That's where it boiled over today, where she said, I want you to ask Ken if he would subsidize this.
All right,
and I said...
See, but, okay, I will drop this, but you're misquoting me. I thought... If he was going to have to pay for a hotel.
Didn't I tell you today it's a trade?
Yes, but you didn't let me finish that there are these companies that do trade similar. And I didn't mean to have the whole thing paid for. I just meant if it's a trade for, say, X amount of dollars, whatever two nights in a hotel would be, to apply it to something else.
Yeah, that's what I want. That's why I want my wife calling the general manager with that question.
I did double check one thing. The hotel that we have up there for our digs, you know, where Ken stays and where Jeremy stays and where we will be staying, is very, very luxurious. I understand it doesn't even have an alarm clock.
I told her already that it's an asshole, and I said that when she and Bart want to come up to New York, I would just pay to have a stay at a better hotel when they're there, mm-hmm. and then otherwise I would stay, you know, in the crack house that the radio station's putting
right.
us up in. You know, that's fine with me.
Right.
Honey, let's just take it one step at a time.
All right, my boo-boo. Okay. I'll just work the women's network.
All right, but whatever that means, just don't...
That means I chatted with Mrs. Ken, and I can chat with Mrs. O'Mara,
God.
Whatever.
Oh, no.
Okay. Whatever. All right, I love you.
All right, goodbye.
Hey, how about some love?
No, I do love you.
Thank you.
I love you very much.
I love you, too.
All right.
Just calm down.
I'm sorry.
Calm down. Take a deep breath. Do some of that feng shui. Calm down.
I'm sorry.
Get in the lotus position.
Dig there. Okay.
Okay?
Everything's fine.
Too much coming at me today.
I know. You don't handle change well anyway.
Too much. We got to get an apartment in New York. You got to die soon so I get all this money.
No.
Yeah, I got to go to Spain. My mother's got to go to Spain. You got to get a deal on my sister getting her eyes done with a laser surgery.
Sure.
I'm handling everything. Don't you worry about it.
It's just a lot of stuff in one day.
All right, boo-boo.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. So that's kind of what you were dealing with this morning.
That's exactly what I told you up in the office.
That's interesting.
And all of these things happened one right after the other today.
Oh boy.
At first it was this argument.
She's a dynamo, that woman of yours.
Not really an argument, this heated discussion about getting an apartment in New York and calling Ken.
Right.
Then it was, oh listen, my sister and niece need to have their eyes done, need to have this laser surgery.
They want that done in New York?
No. They want it done here, but they want a discount.
Okay.
So can you handle that? Can you get them a discount? Then it was, oh, yes, and my mother and I would like to go to Spain. And then it was, now the guy's coming over, and he's going to talk about when you die, about how rich we're going to get when you die. And then the freaking Jehovah's Witnesses came over. And it was just,
God.
You know what I mean? Just
I do know what you
just,
mean.
Just too much.
A lot of times I don't know what you mean, but I think I do know what you
just,
mean.
It's way too much.
Could have been a scene from Scanners.
Just stop it. Yeah, my head's about to explode. I'm actually now, at this point, I'm looking forward to going to Wichita.
Oh, my.
Okay. Let that tell you how desperate I am. I'm looking forward to spending two nights in the metropolis of Wichita, Kansas.
It's a happening town. Buzz will tell you that. He was raised there.
That's
he
right.
knows it's happening. Wichita
right.
is happening, and we're coming to Wichita, and I'll tell you, I could not be happier.
Right.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Have swing dancing on Thursdays.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Oh, it could have been. So before you dance, you got to get up the nerve to approach a strange woman. Before you do that, you got to stop throwing up in the men's room.
Oh, yeah, I know what he means. Dancing is different. You're very vulnerable.
Yeah, it's a big risk asking someone if you can hold on to him for 10 minutes.
All I want is 5, and I get off me, I'm sleeping.
Idiot.
The Don and Mike Show.
Mildly cross-eyed, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Here is Larry Michael. Hi, Larry.
Hey, Don.
Larry, of course, from the Westwood One Radio Network, also does the Redskins pregame show with me on Sundays on many of these radio stations.
He's a sports guy. He's a real sports guy.
Mm-hmm. And as you know, Larry also enjoys Westinghouse light bulbs.
Sylvania, Don.
Sorry, Sylvania light bulbs.
Have you ever tried the three-way? Oh, many times. Let's talk about light bulbs. Hey!
I want to tell you. Say, so a couple of weeks ago, we're doing the Redskins show, and out of the blue, we're in a commercial set, and Larry just says to me, hey, did I tell you about my new pay-per-view gig? And I said, no, because, you know, Larry does boxing.
I hear him on, you know, he does stuff on HBO.
ESPN. And stuff. And he did the Tough Man Challenge that one time when he came on the show and talked about that. Well, he says, listen, and he's a little embarrassed when he brought this up to me. He said, I don't know if I should take this as a gig or not. Tell me what you think. It's motorized, computerized robots who will be battling each other. And right away I said, are you kidding? This sounds like a gold mine.
Absolutely. What is the title of the pay-per-view?
BattleBots.
Yeah.
BattleBots. And now, it's going to be actually shown in January. There's a lot of post-production needed because of the downtime in between the battles.
So you're taping it in Las Vegas when?
Next week.
Next week. Now, are there going to be tickets available to the public?
You know, I don't know. I'm sure they're trying to sell some tickets. I have not seen any PR this side of the Mississippi, but you know, there's going to be a lot of technical geeks there, I'm sure.
Now, have you thought about what type of announcing you're going to do for the BattleBots?
I have, and I'm a little skeptical because they've got the CompuBox guys. You ever seen the CompuBox numbers during the regular fights, and they have the stats, and they've hired these guys to come be part of this, but there are no arms to these robots, okay? Right. There are no appendages, so there is no right and left.
So how do they hold the hatchets or the chainsaws, then?
Upon getting the video, now these are the prototypes have all come and gone, and now they've taken another step, and the best way I could describe it are miniature tanks.
Okay.
Little miniature tanks, remote-controlled, with various things attached, such as the chainsaw. You'll see there is one that looks a bit like a giant centipede.
So they're different. I mean, the robots that will do battle,
right?
They're not uniform looking robots.
It's not
like the Lost in Space robot, which is what we had.
Except
pictured.
That's what they are trying to achieve. They can't achieve that because the appendages won't stay on.
If one has a chainsaw,
of course, it's
going to get chopped off.
Yeah, but I think, you know, every time it gets by, every next show they have, they will try to improve. And now they've got the super heavyweight division, which is 250 pounds of steel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So these will be big robots.
Yes.
Now, the battle bots that you have, will they be so sophisticated that you'll be able to profile them like you would a boxer? I mean, I know the CompuBox stats won't
just
be
like
there.
He's
400 gigabits.
Exactly.
6.5 inches tall.
There's one called Nail Cruncher.
Nail Cruncher. And you talk about the people that built him and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of high-tech involvement.
Aren't the computer companies behind this like Microsoft?
Know, maybe Microsoft's out now. I don't know. But they did have a competitor. And there's a whole slew of different ones, Don. And there's the one factor is the same as the guy in the corner with the joystick controlling it electronically. There's no wires attached, and this is in a ring with bulletproof glass up each side, just like you'd see at your bank.
This is a wacky concept.
So you talk about hatchets, you talk about chainsaws,
right?
Will any of the robots be able to fire any kind of projectiles?
I am told there are, even though on the tape I received there was nothing but nails coming out, these big punchers, these hammers, but no projectiles.
And
no.
Some of these robots pack, these battle bots, I should say, some of them pack a wallop?
They pack a mighty big wallop. And the other thing is the floor is not canvas. The floor is like a flat surface that has these rotary saws coming up from underneath. Just like a circular saw you might see in the wood shop. There's a series of these coming out from under the mat.
And it will surprise the robots?
Yes, exactly.
So they're totally at random?
Yes. They'll get flipped. They'll get cut. You know, they're all steel, though. So
tell me, when you get the call for this, when they say, listen, Larry, we've seen you work on HBO. We've seen you on ESPN. We have a new project. We'd like you to be the announcer for BattleBots.
Took some selling, Don. It took some selling because I do not do wrestling. That is the one thing
well,
I do
Well, you did
not
do the one thing. That one thing you did was damn close to
tough
wrestling.
Tough women. It was tough women.
Tough women.
Tough women. Was that like Ultimate Fighting for Women?
Close to it. Close. There was gloves. It's like the Butterbean of women.
Okay.
Don't you remember when he came?
Pretty, picture that.
Yeah. He came on the show to promote that down in Louisiana
something. That's exactly
There's a
right.
fine line, Larry, between. But you draw the line at wrestling. Is that what it is?
That's where I draw the line. But I'm excited about this because this. Yeah, if they can take the technology to where it is like real robots that are moving like Terminator robots, I think that could be pretty hot.
Could be your ticket.
Is this a showcase for high tech companies?
Somewhat. There are individual or private people who have built their own robots, got a lot of money. Each one's worth $1 million. But you'll see there's some young kids in there whose daddies have bought them robots, and they control them.
All right, well, let's watch the tape. Larry brought the demo
Can
tape.
You bring that light down a little bit, Rob?
Lights down, please. And I think you'll appreciate this, Mike. We've rewired the room now so that the audio for the TV will now come through my control board. So
good.
You won't just be hearing it like on a on an extra microphone.
There you go, Don. You see, they are now charging up the unit that has the chainsaw.
Now, hold on. There's a guy with a remote control. Looks like a guy that has a remote control for one of those airplanes that you see a guy in a field with on Saturdays.
Look at this one. It's like a bug.
That's the one I was talking about. Now, there is a surprise ending to this battle.
Oh, now, there's a chainsaw.
Yes.
I see. That is a robot with a real, legitimate chainsaw.
And here we go.
Now the robots are running at each other.
They're approaching each other. You see right here, if you have that chainsaw, the bug seems to have a plastic cover to it. So
is the bug trying to trap the...
Yes, exactly.
He's trying to trap the other robot.
Yes.
And the other robot's trying to get him back. Looks like the bug's got him.
Looks like the bug is trying to have sex with him.
He's gotten that chainsaw nailed down and held down right now. The chainsaw is not able to move, but this is a timed event. There is a time limit to this.
The bug is the one with the chainsaw there.
No, the bug has the chainsaw in its mouth right now.
You see, the bug is actually on top of the chainsaw.
Oh, I see.
One robot is on top of the other robot. I don't think we're doing an adequate job.
Now, here you go. Here, you see the rotary saws right there?
Oh, now he just avoided the rotary saw.
Okay, there are saws that are coming up out of the floor. Okay.
Now, I don't see the...
He's trying to push now. He's trying to push the bug into the rotary saw.
Does it look like these robots are having sex?
Now, he just started the chainsaw, right? The
chainsaw is rolling now.
And the bug's trying to push him into the circular saw.
Trying to. This is where I'm a little lost on the play-by-play.
Oh, now he's waiting. He's moving.
Yeah, here you go. Here, you see it here?
Oh! Now, look at this. The one bug with the chainsaw... Or rather, the robot with the chainsaw is actually now slicing apart the robot that looks like a giant ladybug.
Now, is he trying to get to the wires, Larry?
It's a bad preparation by the ladybug. Those wires should be protected.
Right.
And is this the kind of commentary you'll be offering?
We're going to have to wait.
Oh, he got in there. He got a wire.
That's the equivalent of a knockout.
It's a knockout. The bug is dead.
Oh, listen, the crowd's
he got
going.
Him. Look at him. Now he's twisting around. He's all happy. Wait, now the bug seems to be moving a little bit, but he can only move up and down, right?
Those are just reflexes right now, Mike.
Larry, you're cracking
this
me up.
This is maybe the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
This is a challenge, Larry.
You're the crowd. Listen to the crowd.
The Achilles tendon.
He's cut the tendon. It does look like the guy from last night's Regis show out there, doesn't it? Right there?
You say this is a nerd patrol.
Look at the great unwashed watching this event. They're loving this. All right, so that's
Larry, this poses a challenge to you as a broadcaster, in my humble opinion.
It does. The fact that it's going to be post-produced is the biggest thing because there's going to be a lot of downtime. The fights are 3 minutes each, so if you lay them all end to end.
Looks like Ray Romano that's adjusting that robot.
The only problem is it's take a half hour to get those robots out.
All right, now who's this kid? Oh, is this the kid that made the robot?
No, that is the control person.
She controlled the robot with a chainsaw?
No way she was capable of building the robot, but she was the designated driver, so to speak.
All right, and now they are bringing the victorious robot.
All right.
the executioner will be back shortly.
That, the one with the chainsaw is the executioner.
So it's like Ultimate Fighting where they come back and they'll take on the winner of the next match?
Yes, and they'll repair the broken robots. In other words, the one with the chainsaw, maybe any damage was done during that battle, they'll repair it and bring it back.
But the bug is not going to fight another day.
The bug is done.
All right, now here's our next match.
It's in duration.
It's not tied up, Donnie. It's a long way ahead.
Oh, I got to fast forward.
Yeah, okay.
I'll tell you that the production value on this.
This is a prototype show.
It's like it's lit like the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire show, where they have the spotlights coming down and it's in the big glass cage.
And I guess the bulletproof glass prevents any shards of metal from clinging into the.
Here's where you're meeting the robot now. This is Kilobot. Robot name?
Anuit Jeptus or something?
This robot is from Israel. And in fact, this robot will not work. In viewing this videotape, this is a robot they could not control. It went haywire on them.
And so why are these men wearing fatigues?
I think it's just a battle situation. They want to get everybody in the field.
This is from Israel. Did you see the guy trying to whack the robot with a big metal stick?
Looked like he was mad at it.
I don't know. It almost looks like a futuristic carpet sweeper.
Yeah, it does. It does. Again, when I saw this videotape, I was somewhat skeptical. I know that they've taken it to the next level. This is a prototype event.
I'm going to fast forward this tape a little bit.
Now, there are more robots that we're going to see?
There are more. I think you saw the best one, though. That's why I had chewed
it. Oh, no. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
That was the best one, Larry?
That was the best one, because you actually saw the death of one of the robots.
Yeah.
There is a time limit, and if they don't knock each other out by the end of the time limit, then they have to judge who was the winner. And when
I don't think it's necessary for that guy to be wearing a military helmet, Larry.
I think, you know, he's protecting himself against shards that might be flying, shrapnel, as it were.
A lot of these guys look like they're like Michigan militia guys. Don't they? A lot of these guys that are working on these robots.
The lighting's good, though. You know, the battle bots.
I think the production quality is going to be very nice. I really do. But again, the downtime in between bouts is.
Are these the Israelis still working on their?
This robot will not work, and so they're going to pull this one out.
And they just took him out.
Yeah.
Now, there's another robot coming into the...
It's all full of these battles on here.
Right.
All right, well, let's just get to the next battle and see what's happening. I'd like to see two different robots.
Look at this one. That's a mean-looking
one. This is different. This is a robot that has... it's called Rhino, and it's got like a battering ram.
Look at that spike coming out.
Yes.
All right, now that's a good robot.
That is.
Going up against a guy we've all become familiar
with. Oh, that looks like it's got guns.
He brought in on his side because he can't fit through on his gut. It's Vlad the Impaler.
Vlad the Impaler.
Yes.
Now that's what you'll be doing, right, Larry? You'll be talking about Vlad the Impaler.
I think so. The ring announcer is no Michael Buffer. You might notice that.
Yep.
Oh, I see. So Vlad the Impaler, they brought him in on his side.
This looks like a little car.
Yeah, he's being primed right now.
An armored car.
Now, this one looks like it's going to kick ass. This robot looks like he's just going to kill the other guy.
It does. But you see, he's having some problems with whatever that is, an appendage that's sticking out of the front of that.
Oh, it looked like they had rubber little cones on the end to protect themselves, and now they've unsheathed those, and there's spikes coming out of the robot.
So now do the robots fight?
They do. All right, they do. But, again, I don't want to oversell this.
Okay. All right. You're listening to the preview of BattleBots.
Hey, that's Spike.
Close. 3, 2, 1, kickbot.
Running start here.
So these two robots.
Kickbot. Is that what he says? Kickbot.
Yes.
Okay, now we're watching two robots just drive around like a.
Oh, watch out for the saws. He almost got eaten by the saws.
All right, we'll see those saws come into play during this match.
The robot is... right now, it's like a boxing match where they're both running away from each other.
Don, it's a feeling out process. Early in this fight.
I guess they're getting the remote control set, trying to figure out which...
Oh, that was contact.
All right, now, that was good. The robot with the big thing sticking out of it just hit the other robot.
And then the other robot took a run. Oh! Did you see that spike shootout?
Yes.
Now, listen. That was pretty cool. This robot has a giant... Oh, look at these... You know...
That spike right there, COA, just
that
knocked that other one out of the way.
Nasty.
Larry, I'm telling you, this might be a winner. What I'm seeing now...
Oh, that's good. That's a good
shot. Oh, and he just went into the big saw.
So you got to watch yourself. And the timing of those saws, it just comes up any time. There's no special timing.
This robot right here, the little robot.
The little robot with the spike coming out is doing a great job.
He's the Rhino.
He's killing the bigger robot.
That's why they call him the Rhino, right, Larry?
Yeah, right. Just the Rhino against the Impaler.
Now they both seem confused.
The little robot keeps coming up against the big robot and sticking his spike in his side.
There's another one.
There's a lot of velocity with that spike coming out.
Can you see the dents he's putting in the side?
But these robots look rather well protected.
I think they need to get them a little taller. But, you know, I think they've done a great job so far. You see the... Oh, there you go.
Oh, that was a mistake.
He just got
caught by the saw.
He just ran into one of the saws that came up out of the floor.
All right, now they...
They're just trying to get ready. They're just working for position right now.
This is going to be a tough play-by-play call for you, Larry.
And the color person is supposed to be a computer-type robot builder.
Oh, Jesus. Good luck.
Yeah, we need to get you that gig, Don.
I love that rhino, though. I like the way the thing shoots out.
It does. See, the one on the left, the Impaler, really doesn't have the aggressiveness that the rhino
has. Right, exactly. See, the Impaler's impaling knives are too low to the ground.
Yes.
Oh.
If I'm scoring this match, I give the little robot all the points in this round.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, that's true.
The only offense in this fight has been from the rhino.
And there he goes again. The little thing, the little guy keeps sticking his
spike.
His spike out, yeah.
The Impaler is done.
The Impaler is done.
The Impaler just took too many shots with the spike. Rhino.
Fans showing their approval of that battle.
Larry, let me reiterate this is a challenge to you as a broadcaster.
I agree with that very much. I would have to say, Mike, this is going to be one of the toughest things we've ever done.
This may be the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
But when your show is on, it'll be bigger and better robots?
I'll have a full report after this is over. It does not air on pay-per-view until January, so I'll be able to, I'll see you guys and tell you how good it is. And I think that the fact that some of these robots, like this one right here, the Impaler, these are the heavyweights. They now have a super heavyweight division. So, and you can see huge holes in the steel.
Yeah, I mean, and that's metal that thing put the spike through.
The rhino actually pierced the metal of the Impaler with his spike.
Yeah, it was it's pretty amazing.
But the funniest part is watching these computer nerds, all these little Bill Gates wannabes, come out to work on these things like they're Jeff Gordon's pit crew.
And it really is, if you're talking computerese, it's all about design. It's designing a machine that will do a good job. I like that robot. I like that. That
you like that battle. You like
the Impaler?
That was a good battle, yeah.
That was better than the one with the big bug, I thought.
Yeah, the bug. Well, what could the bug do? The bug could lift its body up and smother the thing, but otherwise it didn't have any offensive weaponry.
All right, let's watch one more battle bot. You know, because I get the feeling that we might really be on the cusp of the next big thing.
It could be. It could be. I think they need a little more technical. Like, here, take this one.
Okay,
this looks great.
Look at this.
This looks great.
This is Nightmare.
Nightmare
has what might look like a bicycle wheel that has some spikes on it. But you will see, once that spinning spike catches something, it throws itself off balance.
I see.
So it's bad design.
Poor engineering.
That's right.
The battle boys are crossing about. That means one thing. Three.
They're chewing on their equipment, Larry. That's not a good sign.
Okay, see, right away. There's a big spinning fan-like contraption.
This is retarded.
Watch it. Watch here. He's going to get hooked on him. He's going to throw him.
You know,
replay that, please.
I can't describe. You know,
replay that.
The only way to describe this is like when you were a kid. Remember when you had an erector set when you would build stuff?
Exactly.
It's like giant erector set toys gone mad.
It's a big fan-like thing, and it hooks onto the other robot. Is just
watch
small
it again.
It's a small little square of metal.
And he's got like what seems to be a snowplow on the front of him.
That's exactly right.
Here we go. Now, this is when the big thing with the wheel is going to tip over.
You know, I can tell by the sound, though, this is heavy-duty metal stuff. I mean, this is really...
Just take yourself down a year or two down the road and the technology that could advance this. We might have something here.
Oh, absolutely.
But see, the best of the battle is over because that's it.
Because he went over the saw.
The guy with the big wheel just pushed the other robot over the spot where the saws come out of the floor. Jesus.
Oh, my God.
This is maybe the lamest thing.
You guys look like you're excited a little bit.
Yeah, you know what?
It's funny. It's funnier than I thought it would be.
I can't decide if it's lame or if it's great.
That's the way I felt when I saw the tape. I think I have to see it in person and see how far the technology has come since this prototype tape was
done. This would be the equivalent of two fighters clinching.
They're clinching. There's nothing. The rest of this fight is the same. You saw the highlight of that fight.
So he can't get his wheel spinning anymore?
No. Pretty much he threw his wheel out.
No, hold up. Wait, no, it's spinning again.
Hold on, he's up.
It's
and he's
spinning.
Around. Hold on, wait. Let me back it up there, Mike.
Larry, it did start spinning again.
It did. See, there right is. There, it's spinning.
Yeah, but it, right. It does. It's not effective. It's not effective spinning.
Oh, that's right. See, I would make that...
That wheel that was spinning, man. I don't know how to describe this. If you've ever seen that Tim Burton movie, The Night Before Christmas, with, like, the toys that go haywire.
Little bit like that, yeah.
Very original designs on these robots here.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's what we're going to
do. Oh, that was a nasty shot.
Robots just running into each other.
But really, now, I think this robot's going to try to shove him into the corner. Now, see, that's a much more mobile robot, the one with the snowplow on the front of it.
And the snowplow now is leading the dance.
Oh, but wait a minute, the wheel is spinning again.
But again, Mike, ineffective spinning.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Look,
I feel,
it's not
I feel like we're in the booth right here.
It's not doing anything. It's just spinning, and here you go. There's
the collision. No.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I'd like you to meet Brian. He's substituting for Darlene while she's on vacation.
Oh, welcome to our little family, Brian. Little tip, don't speak to Larry unless he speaks to you. Have fun, my boy. Nice suit.
The Don and Mike Show. Happily cruising aboard the rudderless ship, Don and Mike.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, Don and Mike, some outrageous news for you from Vermont, if you please.
Outrageous? What's the outrageous news?
The Vermont Senate today is voting on the civil unions bill.
Ah, yes, yes. Gays, lesbians, getting married, if you please.
That is outrageous.
We've got to get Ellen and Anne up here now.
Two women who feast on the yeast, getting married, outrageous.
In the beautiful Green Mountain State, if you please.
You know, we do have a... an outstanding offer to the management of Ellen D. Genitals and Anne Heche,
right,
to have them be married on our show. We said we would go to Vermont and do our show from the steps of the state capitol if they want to get married on the show. So if they make it a law, maybe it'll happen.
Now, you're not going to try to talk, if we get this thing to work and they come on the air with us, you're not going to try to talk Anne Heche out of the life, are you? Which I think is probably your ulterior motive all
Listen,
along.
I think Anne Heche likes the bologna pony.
Yeah, you might be right.
I think that Anne Heche... I don't doubt the fact that she's the man in that relationship with Ellen.
You think so?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Small, bossy.
You know.
She has referred to Ellen as her husband. Or, excuse me, as her wife.
As her wife. Yeah,
yeah,
she's the husband.
Right.
No. And even having said all of that, annoying that she is a card-carrying lesbo, I bet she goes both ways.
I think you have always said, because she's done so many of those heterosexual roles.
You see, watch her in that movie.
She's very convincing.
Watch her in that movie with Harrison Ford.
Right.
That awful movie where they're stranded on the island together, where mm-hmm. he's the pilot, and she's supposed to be sexually attracted to a guy who's old enough to be her father.
She's also in that movie with the kids that get busted over in Malaysia.
With Vince Vaughn, right.
And she's very hetero in that, mm-hmm. and very
yes.
convincing.
She's right.
Talk.
She sure is.
If you please.
If you please. A lesbian that swings both ways, if you please.
If you please. There's a word for that. It's called bisexual, if you please.
Outrageous.
Hello?
Hello, Mark.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I had a question for you guys. I've been listening to you guys for a while now. I need some advice.
Yes.
Okay, I am 22, dating a 17-year-old. Yes, big problem.
Okay, hold it. Stop right there. Stop right there.
Yeah, yeah. And there's the advice. Stop right there.
Stop right there. A 22-year-old should not be with a 17-year-old. What? Is she a freshman? Is she a junior? A sophomore? A senior?
No, there's a catch. We both, I'm a high school graduate, and she didn't complete high school. So we both went to the same training facility, and that's where we met.
Training facility?
Right. It's a Job Corps training facility. We trained for, like, different careers. And
Were you put in that facility?
No. It's nothing like that. No, it's all volunteer.
But listen, even if she's not currently in high school, mm-hmm. and way to go, you're shacking up with a 17-year-old dropout.
When will she be 18?
She'll be 18 come June 31st.
All right. Well, that's when you should officially start a relationship with her.
Just cool it. Life is a breeze.
Okay. There's another problem.
Oh, you didn't knock her up, did you?
I did. That's the problem.
Oh, God. How many times must we say it on the show? Babies having babies.
New listener.
What the hell's wrong with you?
No, you've already said that you listened to us for a long time.
No. I just recently started listening to you.
Why didn't you use protection? Why are you banging a 17-year-old?
Does this child have a parent? Have a father?
Yes, and she's of Mexican descent, so I guess...
Oh, that'll make it okay.
No. Not
what does that have to do with anything?
Yeah. Statutory rape, if you please. Outrageous.
Cutting through all ethnic lines, if you please.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now from the Green Bay Packers, it's Mark Chmura. Lester Burnham, if you please.
Ooh!
Outrageous.
But what are you going to do about this?
Okay, well, we have a son, obviously. And
well, you already... Wait a minute.
Wait.
Hold on.
You have the kid already?
Yes.
Oh, so we're not talking about 17. We're talking about maybe 15 and 16?
No, when you were maybe 19 and 20? We just recently. He was just born on the 6th of this month.
So how old was she when you knocked her up?
17.
No.
Yes.
Well, that would be close if she's going to be 18 in June.
Be very close. But that would mean you were probably seeing her when she was 16.
Yes.
And you were 20.
And you said you've been seeing her for 5 years?
No. 1 year. 1 year. A little over 1 year.
So you mean you knocked her up right after you met her?
No, not necessarily. A month or two.
You
waited a whole month.
So you start dating a 16/17-year-old. You immediately get her...
I was 21 at the time.
You were 21,
mm-hmm.
And you get her pregnant, mm-hmm. And now you have a son together. Well, what are your plans?
That's where the
That's where you need the advice?
Is we're having a lot of...
Put the baby in a box, mail the baby to me, and I will raise the baby as if it were my own.
God, you are generous. When do you ever stop? Don, how can you keep giving like this?
Donnie Twat's Orphanage.
Unbelievable.
I just want, like, a salute, because we have a lot
You're
going
to kill yourself, you know that. You just give too much. I mean, it's...
Father Donnie.
I mean, every time... let me tell you something, sir. Every time somebody like you makes a mistake like this, Donnie has to step up and collect another child in a box delivered to his doorstep and raised to go to an Ivy League university.
Bad exit.
Okay, well, I want...
FedEx me your child.
I want the best, and I know I've done something, you know, unworthy of manhood.
So you're keeping the... Is your girlfriend, is she keeping the baby?
Yes, she is, definitely. And she no longer wants to be with me, and that's where the problem is.
That's the smartest move she could make.
So why are you calling us? So your problem is you knocked up a 17-year-old, you had the baby, and now she doesn't want to be with you.
Right.
And are you in love with her?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, you know, have you thought...
Love, if you please.
Have you thought about marrying her?
Oh, yes, several times. We have our, you know, financial situation that's keeping us from going that route.
How does her family feel about you? Does she have a close family? Does she have a family support network, somebody to take care of the baby, some adults to take care of the baby?
Well, yeah, she has a lot of family support, and her family is where a lot of our fights and arguments come from.
Because they hate you, the 22-year-old who came in and thrusted himself inside their teenage daughter and planted his demon seed.
No, that's not where the problem started.
Pelvic thrusting?
The problem started is every weekend she wanted to go over there, and the little arguments that couples get into, their parents witnessed this. So as her parents, listen, of course they're going to defend her, and they're going to look at me as the bad guy.
And you just wanted to stay at your place, whatever place you had, and have sex.
No. I wanted to be with her at our place, which was both choosing to be there.
So you own your own apartment? I mean, you rent your own place?
What do you do for a living?
I work in a customer service department in our organization.
So you have a job?
Yes, I do.
And it pays well enough where you can support yourself? Can you support the baby?
Yes, I can.
All right, well, I tell you what, if you have a phone number, you give me the phone number off the air, and I'll call this girl. I mean, I'll see what I can do for you.
She's not in love with you?
She is, but the fact is, I believe she's being influenced by her parents to leave me because of the different arguments that we have as normal couples and her parents.
Well, don't you realize
involved in our relationship?
Do you understand, though, you are young, too? I mean, even at 22, mm-hmm. most people don't get married at 22.
Right.
Especially the 17-year-olds.
The 17-year-olds.
Jerry Lee.
And the parents might be giving her some advice, say, hey, maybe this is too soon to get married.
Right, of course.
Even though you do it, you're saddled with a child now at 17. God. Babies having babies, Don. Our number one complaint with America.
Was the sex good? I hope it was good. It'll F up your whole life now.
It was great.
Wait, you just couldn't pull out?
No. It was, she didn't want me to.
Oh, you!
Please,
oh,
come
shut
on.
Up!
You could have pulled out.
Oh, you know, Listen, if Nixon could, I'm being honest.
If Nixon could pull out of Vietnam, you could have pulled out of your 16-year-old girlfriend.
And then, you know, we were driving on the highway. We got to the Beltway, and we were driving up, and she didn't want me to go with the traffic. She wanted me to go against it, so I did.
Right. Come on. You could have pulled out. You know you could have.
Yeah, those are... Yeah. Can't take back the mistakes. So
what?
I can't take back what.
Well, that's why you should do what I told you to do. Put the baby in a box, send it to me, then get in your car and just drive.
And
just leave.
Get out of town.
That's the advice. Because it's not the Dr. Freakin' Laura show. We don't have real advice for you, you dope. You knocked up a 17-year-old girl. You're an idiot.
And if she doesn't want to stay with you, this might really be an opportunity for you to get your act together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's your... get out of town card.
But we have a
get out of jail free.
Yeah.
We have a son involved now, and
yes, you do have a son.
Sons grow up with no fathers. Turn out to be
no. That's you know. If, oh God.
That's what I'm.
It's hard to argue
about.
With that one, but I mean you're too young.
Yeah, come on. Now you got the morality happening here. Please, where was the morality when you should have pulled out?
I don't know. You know how we think with our dicks sometimes. Okay, not we, myself.
Yes, just your penis.
If that's what, you know, if she doesn't want to be with you and her parents don't want you to be, I mean, that's kind of, you know, you did make this mistake and maybe this is your payment for making that mistake. Is she going to let you see, if you go elsewhere, will she let you see your son?
Yeah.
What did you name him?
I'm sorry? Oh, Junior.
Junior.
You named him Junior?
No, my full name.
Your full name, Junior. Yeah. Okay, named him after
so
you.
So what is his first name?
His first name's Aaron.
Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Jr.
AJ.
Yeah, you can say that.
AJ. You wouldn't have AJ if she had just given you a BJ. You can't get pregnant from a BJ.
I think you should honor the wishes of your girlfriend and her family. And Amscray.
Yes.
And let her try to get her act together. And let her do some growing up and you go do the same
thing.
Listen,
when she needs money, she'll track you down.
That's right, yeah. I mean, and that, you do have a financial obligation to that child
mm-hmm.
for the rest of your life. You do have that. But, you know, if she doesn't want to be with you, use this opportunity to maybe straighten yourself out.
But for now, goodness sakes, think of all the different high schools that you could you
no.
could hang around and try to score chicks with.
No, it's not.
You know, go to an Orange Julius, man.
No, I'm definitely...
For you, going to the Gap is like going to Jonah and the Whale down in Georgetown. Right?
Right.
You want to get laid? Hey, guess what? Let's go to Pottery Barn. There's all kinds of chicks there shopping with their moms.
Okay. Well, that sounds pretty much what everybody else...
So did we give you the kind of advice you were looking for?
Yeah, and my conscience is telling me, you know, that maybe this is the best thing. And
just bang girls your own age.
Bang girls your own age and look at this as, a, you know, if that's what she wants, honor her wishes.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you did when you... Alleged, she said, "Don't pull out."
And she didn't say that. She didn't say, "Don't pull out."
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, but still, you're the older one. It's the responsibility's on you.
You should have known to pull out.
Use protection.
Right. Okay.
Please.
Thank you, though.
Why don't you just castrate yourself?
That's a thought too. That might make you feel better.
That'd be a way to make sure this never happened again.
Take off and go somewhere.
No. Castrate yourself.
And that means?
Cut off your penis.
Isn't that sad?
Mm-hmm. No.
He can produce a son, but he doesn't know what the word castrate means.
Cut off your penis.
not necessarily his penis.
Or your nads.
Okay.
Just cut off your nads.
Okay. I understand that.
So you could still get a stiffy, but you just couldn't do anything with it.
And you already do have a son, so, you know, don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry. Your good name will live on into the next 100 years.
Okay, you guys have been very helpful.
The new generation of underachievers who go out and bang high school girls.
Does this girl have a father?
Yes.
How did he feel about it?
He's totally supportive of the whole thing, except for the fact that he's been too involved in our relationship, and he sees that I'm...
Hey, buddy, let me tell you something right now. I think you're lucky that he's not too involved in your relationship, and that I'll be honest with you. I'd be involved in your relationship.
Statutory rape, if you please.
Go set that line out of Clueless. I've got a shovel and a 45. I'll dig a hole. You won't be missed.
Of course, he's thrilled. What man wouldn't be thrilled to know that... 22-year-old man knocked up his 16-year-old daughter.
You know, when you say he's too involved in your relationship now, I think it's all the better you move on with your life.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Come on, just move somewhere where there's Chuck E. Cheese's. You can find yourself another nice girl.
Okay.
Thanks. Please, what were you thinking we're going to tell you, please? You dope.
Really? Please. Hey, I hope you got the message.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike?
That's the message. Pull out.
And then, if you can't pull out, castrate yourself.
Hello.
Don and Mike?
Hi.
It's Bruce. How you doing?
And always check IDs. Please, check IDs.
I got a question and I got a statement. I'm a black male. I'm in my 30s and I live in Baltimore. You were commenting about Oprah.
Yeah.
A lot of black people, males and females, basically, you have to be on both sides of the track. You got to talk black when you're in your black neighborhood and you got to talk white to white people. So that's the reason that she does that. I mean, all my friends do that.
Are you talking black or white to me now?
Right now?
Yes.
Right now I'm talking black to you.
I'm understanding it. Why is there a problem? Why do you have to have two different lingos?
Because when, I mean, it gets to the point, and right now I'm talking black to you, but it's like a little bit of slang. It gets to the point when I'm talking.
Now, consider me soul brother number one. Come on.
John watches BET.
When you're soul brother number one, I'm like, yo, cuz, what's up? You know, what you
yo,
doing?
Yo, yo. Yo, yo, yo.
But I went to the University of Delaware. When I'm in Delaware, when I'm on campus, I graduated, but when I'm on campus and I'm speaking to the professors, and I'm like, hi, sir, how are you doing? It's a different lingo.
And yo, yo, yo.
You have to be able to do both of them.
That's fresh.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
That's fresh.
You know, I understand what you're saying.
That's why Oprah does that.
I don't know whether Oprah has to do it, but I mean, I think you're absolutely right.
But
there are.
She has black friends and she has white friends. She grew up in Baltimore.
All right, but if she's on TV with Diane Sawyer, why does she have to talk both black and white?
Because she has to. She even has to do it worse than the average person because she has to relate to both. Where her television program is going out to the whites and the blacks, she has to get across to both of them to keep her ratings high.
Well, what about her Hispanic viewers? How come she doesn't talk like this then?
Because her Hispanic viewers can understand her black lingo because they're people of color, so she doesn't have to speak Spanish to them.
Now, I understand exactly what this guy's saying,
I know what he's saying.
I think that makes me the blackest guy in the room right now.
No, I understood it from the first moment I understood
and I don't watch as much BET as you do.
I'm sure you don't. Okay, my question my question to you.
Thank
is...
you.
I watch Unhappily After All. That's a WB show.
Unhappily.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with the WB.
Unhappily Ever After.
Of course, there's nothing wrong with the WB.
Okay.
That stands for We're Brothers.
My question to you is, okay?
Yes.
You have sporting teams such as in football, you have businesses and computers with Microsoft, and then you have smaller computer corporations. You have television programs like The Oprah Show, Phil Donahue, Sally Jesse. You have a pecking order.
Are you talking white or black right now?
I'm talking white right now.
Okay, all right.
Okay, you have a pecking order. You have the top and you have the bottom. Why is it that in radio broadcasting, radio people in the business are such dicks that they don't want to give praise to the radio people who are better than them?
Because in radio, generally most people on the radio are the most insecure, suffering bastards you will ever meet with.
Yeah, absolutely. There is no more. There, you know, show business in general, in all aspects, there is total insecurity. In the radio business, it's worse.
In television, everybody would admit, maybe not right now, but even back then, when Oprah took over, Phil Donahue had no problem with saying that Oprah is doing better than him. The ratings showed it.
Yes, but listen, you're talking about the people at the top of the heap. If you want to go talk about a guy. Go talk to Marty Bass at Channel 13. And you walk up to Marty Bass and you start talking about some guy who works at Channel 2.
He'll be the same thing.
Marty Bass would be pissed off.
Right.
That's my point.
Let's talk about you guys. I don't listen to you every day, but I listen to you enough and I get your show and I enjoy it. And it's a comedy show. You guys are good, okay?
Right.
Now you guys are good around the country.
Right.
Now I also listen to Howard Stern. Howard Stern is a good program, and it's gotten all around the country.
Right.
Why is it that you guys, and Howard Stern, badmouths Rick Dees, he badmouths the Grease Man, he badmouths...
Listen, I've already explained this to you, that disc jockeys are very insecure people.
Actually, and in a lot of cases... Wait a minute, hold on. In a lot of cases, with disc jockeys, it is also part of the act. It is part of the show. That's the way it is. The competitive nature of things turns into the act. It turns into the routine.
Like
that's
wrestlers.
What it's all about.
You know, and when you talk about TV shows, you're talking about you have 10 talk TV shows. Do you know how many goddamn radio shows there are in America? In New York City, there's 100 radio stations. In Washington, D.C., there's 75 radio stations.
Yeah, but in each city, there's only going to be one or two that are good.
But you know, it's always the conditioned mindset of people in radio that you've got a more loyal and a more avid listenership and a loyal audience, and you want to do that to your competition because really, it's what your listeners want you to do.
And besides, all the other disc jockeys suck.
Bingo!
They just suck.
Amen.
They just blow.
I understand.
Please.
All right.
I just had a problem. I had a problem with that because I could never understand why.
I've already explained this to you. Now I'll explain it to you in black. Okay.
Yo.
Like these disc jockeys. Like yo. They're insecure.
That's the most pathetic thing I've ever heard you do.
Is that fresh?
No, it sucks.
It sucks.
You cannot come to any black neighborhood that I know of.
All right.
You can get your ass beat.
Please.
Hi there.
Yo.
I left a jar of mayonnaise here.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike. Good afternoon.
Hi, buddy.
I'm calling to make a comment about that young guy that got the teenager pregnant.
Yes.
I've been with my wife since I was 14. She was 15. We had our first daughter at that age.
And 14 and 15?
They still together.
14 and 15.
Jesus Christ.
I was 14. She was 15. We had our first daughter. We both finished high school. I went to the Marine Corps, came back, had our second daughter, and we're still together. And we're
did you conceive your first daughter in the back of the General Lee?
It was actually in my house.
In your house?
In New York City, by the way.
In New York City, violating stereotypes right across the board.
Yes.
All right, well, congratulations. You were a father at 14. Congratulations.
How old are you now?
36.
36. Wow. That means your first daughter is how old?
23.
A 23-year-old
daughter. 23 years old, and my youngest is 16.
Right, well, that means some guy will be able to put his penis into her very soon.
Well, it depends on how close he gets to my house first.
It all changes when you're on that side, doesn't it?
He's going to have to cut the barbed wire first.
It was fine for your wife to get back and spread her legs when she was 15, right?
Yeah, that was fun.
That was fun.
Hey, Joe broke down. I couldn't help it.
All right, goodbye.
Thanks.
Goodbye. Here's another guy should have pulled out. I mean, it worked out all right for him, but he should have pulled out, too.
Yeah, it worked out because, you know, he's an exception to the rule.
That's right.
That's the motto of today's show. Pull out.
Pull out.
And for all of you black people listening, I'll say, yo, pull out. It's fresh.
There you go. And just like that other guy said, don't go into the neighborhood.
Yo. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I called you guys last week when you had the, you know, calling from the weirdest place. And I wanted to tell you guys my girlfriend's name because I think she's probably the only person in the world with this name here.
All right.
You want me to tell you the name?
No.
No, you blew that out.
Hello, Steve.
Hey, Don and Mike.
You made us way too long.
Hello, Steve. You're the last call.
Hey, Don and Mike, Radio Gods.
Hi.
What's going on?
Come on, be fresh.
Hey. Okay, yo.
Yo.
What's up? Hey, $8? I'm kind of doing this two ways. I'm at work. I just wanted to let you guys know that this young caller that you guys had a little bit ago, I hope he sends his kid to Head Start classes, because he's going to end up just like his dumb old dad.
Right. Very astute.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, he was calling. Well, it worked for him.
Yeah. Glad we took that call. Sorry, we're out of time.
We meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.